much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Another gooey morning mess. Who needs that stress?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Get this week's dog out of here. I'm hungry for the Brew Garden. Fabulous food, fine spirits, fantastic people. My home away from home, the Brew Garden.
Now hiring both locations.
All right, Timo, when is the next commercial coming out?
I have no idea.
He has no idea, so you advertisers out there, right? You're available.
Yeah, I am. Call my agent.
What will you remember most about this whole experience, though?
The Brew Garden.
What a natural storyteller you are.
And now.
Hi, Allie. What have you been doing lately?
I don't know. Little E. Special K. Basically whatever I can get my hands on.
Our feature presentation.
Pretty accurate.
Wow.
Right?
How'd you know?
It's a good question. It's from the TV show Awkward, by the way.
Ah. You're awkward.
Apparently they have an Allie like we have an Allie.
She sounds fun.
Right? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 13th of July. Look, I'm no fan of how every day has to be some imaginary made-up holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You know how one day it's Cat Day, and the next day it's Suspenders Day, and the next
day But you're
day
the
it's...
one that brings it up all the time.
Not really. I ignore almost all of them. But I will say I think we can all get on board with today being National French Fry Day.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Pretty good French fries. Pretty good. I think they're one of the four basic food groups, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
right?
Correct, yes.
What fast food has the best French fries?
I am glad you asked, Allie, because I you know, for years, like everyone, I said McDonald's, but because their fries are crack. But I will say that I went to my first Smashburger recently. Have you guys been to Smashburger?
No. I don't know what that is.
It's a very popular chain. They've got one right around the corner from the station on Venice Boulevard, as a matter of fact. But they have it at LA Live and Universal, a bunch of places. And it's a fast food chain, and they serve chicken and whatnot. But they have a sweet potato fry that I just die for.
See, sweet potato, that's a whole different level of fry.
But they're so good.
Oh, no, they're so good. But when I'm talking fry, I want a McDonald's fry
McDonald's.
That glistens, and I want it just to talk to me through the glisten, like sunshine is hitting it. Even if it's in your car and it's dark out, it's still shining.
Mm-hmm. Look, that was my first thought. I said McDonald's right up top. They're the greatest French fries in the world.
Best.
Yep. But I'm telling you, now increasingly, if I've got a choice, I might go for the Smashburger sweet potato fries, because those are they kill me.
Listen, I'll take that challenge.
Yeah, you got to try
them. I'll do it.
Kevin, you would love them.
I'd give it a try.
Yeah.
So good. So good. You know, I don't know what time they open, but maybe that's a plan for later.
Mm.
It is National French Fry Day. I'm just saying, maybe we send the mugs. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Picking up what you're putting down.
Hey, real quick. The conventions are coming. Republican National Convention starts Monday in Cleveland, and then a week later is the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. And Kevin, I know that you probably agree with many people who are like, why are we even having conventions? We already know who the candidates are. Let's just scrap all of that and just give them the nomination and move forward.
Yeah.
It's a big, fat waste of time.
Plus, it's such a pep rally.
Yeah. It is a pep rally, yeah. And there are people who question whether it's even news at this point to have these. But I think you are going to be on board with something that is scheduled to happen in Philadelphia during the Democratic National Convention. There are a lot of people who are very, very unhappy. Bernie bros, they're called, Bernie supporters, who are very disappointed that Mr. Sanders did not get the nomination and that he has thrown his support behind Hillary Clinton. And they are protesting with a fart in. So
I'm sorry.
A fart in, yes, that is correct.
Chip just did a spit take.
Okay. Advocates for poor people and progressive causes say they plan to make a stink, literally, during Hillary Clinton's big night accepting the Democratic National nomination later this month. The plan is to feed beans to Democratic National Convention delegates for Bernie Sanders, then send them into the Philadelphia Convention Hall to show what they think of the former Secretary of State. Apparently, this is a thing, you guys, that has roots going back to the 1960s. Apparently, fart-ins have happened before.
Goes back to the 1960s?
How did we never hear about this?
I don't know. And I, by the way, my first thought was The Onion does it again.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Right.
I'm reading from U.S. News & World Report right now.
But then what do they accomplish? Like, is it like blackmail? Like, okay, we'll change the candidate if you'll stop doing that.
No,
because we can't take it.
I think it's just a statement. I think it's like people who sit on their hands instead of applauding because they disagree with the speaker. I think it's their way of saying, I can't do anything about it, but I'm going to show you how mad I am.
I'm going to let my butthole talk.
Sherry, I'll need that.
Butthole, you have the floor.
Sherry Hankala, National Coordinator for the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, expects beans to pour into her group's hometown Philadelphia office. Boxes of dry beans and heavy containers of canned beans have already arrived by mail in all varieties, navy, pinto, lima, and baked, with return addresses in Texas, Wisconsin, and across the Rust Belt. Apparently, Bernie Sanders supporters are not happy about Hillary having the nomination, and this is how they're going to express their disappointment.
It is weird that he spends, 2 years telling us that she's the worst candidate, and then turns around and, endorses her, which happens every single time, of course.
Right. Just like Paul Ryan endorsing Donald Trump after he was saying he was a terrible candidate. At some point, you just have to go, look, there's only two people to choose from. You may dislike them both, but one has got to be worse than the other, and that's what you end up doing. So anyway,
fart in.
I don't know how many people are going to join the fart in, but apparently it is a thing and it is happening, and they are organizing baked bean servings all over town for delegates to stop by on their way to the convention hall so they can load up and then just...
Is Mike Catherwood behind this?
That's a great question.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. By the way, Karen Finney, spokesperson for the Clinton campaign, has no comment on the planned fart in.
It's probably best.
I should try. I should go there.
Well, now you're interested in politics.
Yeah.
All right, everybody hold.
Whoa.
Gentlemen, that was a fart.
All right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And that's with no aid.
Sure.
And just doing.
No notice.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right?
Awesome. Way to go, Kevin.
That's crazy. I love that. I really do. It's nonsense. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
God, son, you are pushing a wheelbarrow full of horse up a very steep hill.
I don't know if you've seen the video of the angry Uber driver.
Oof.
That's trying to kick the woman out of his car at the hospital, but it is, it's gold.
Yeah.
It's gold. And that poor man just should stop driving for about a month.
He should stop a lot of things.
Yeah.
Maybe just look at some puppies.
Sure. Yeah.
Tough stuff.
That would help. We also have Allison Hannigan in the program today.
Oh, I love Allison so much.
She's hosting Penn and Teller Fool Us, which is new. It's not new, is it? Second season? Mm-hmm. Third season? We're going to talk to airline stewardesses and stewards about
what they're called flight attendants.
Flight attendants.
21st century.
All right. Thank you. We're going to talk to them about what a crappy job that is, especially based on the Lamar Odom story where he was just throwing up everywhere.
Oof.
That's a terrible job.
Yeah.
It is a terrible job.
Yeah.
Oof. Comedian Natasha Leggero will join us in the studio today.
Love her.
And we've got your tickets for Comic-Con as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
San Diego's Comic-Con is the pop culture event of the summer. That's why the Kevin and Bean Show broadcasts live every single year. And once again, this year, we're going to be there in the whale's vagina, bringing you live entertainment from the venue.
Mm. No.
What?
We're not going.
I thought I understood that.
We were definitely
giving
going.
Away tickets, and the listeners were going to come by and hang out with us while we were on the air down there?
Yeah, that's been canceled. But we're still giving away things.
Right, they get to go. It's just we don't.
All right, so if you want to go to Comic-Con for free on us at K-Rock, you can go, but we can't. Your chance to win is coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's new?
I think somebody in this room needs to listen up because they might be going to jail.
Somebody in this room? Boy, I wonder who that could be.
What do I do now?
Just saying, if you share passwords for things like Netflix, HBO Go...
I have my own
Chip, I'm not talking about you. Why are you incriminating yourself?
I'm the only one.
Netflix is pushing a federal law that would make it illegal to use someone's Netflix account don't live with. The three-judge panel on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit found that sharing passwords without the authorization of the system's owner is a crime. could be prosecuted by the U.S. Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. So that means if you're using someone else's password to access online service, which would include Netflix or HBO Go, it's a violation of federal computer laws.
Can you imagine being in San Quentin? Somebody asked you what you did. Right? You know what? I used somebody else's password for Netflix.
It's so crazy.
My bad.
But the practice is said to account for upwards of $500 million in lost revenue.
I mean, I hear they know that.
Wow. Yeah,
they don't, because they don't know that those people would subscribe
right.
if they didn't have the free. Right, I understand. But if you're Netflix, Kevin, I know that you think it's crazy, but if you're Netflix, you can see why this really does affect your bottom line. I mean, you would want this practice to stop very much.
I would think so, but a federal law, federal offense, I mean,
how
come
would
on
now. How should it be handled then, if not a law? How should it be handled?
I think if they, I don't know. I think if they find that you're doing it, the person who's sharing it gets their account taken away.
Oh,
I
that's
don't know.
A good idea.
Just seems odd that they're going to come after you that hard.
Yeah, some studies show that most sharing is only done by family members and only 4% share outside their family.
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I don't believe that at all.
I think it's all crazy. I need people in jail for this, though. I think that's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Right?
Remember about 24 hours ago, people in this room, when Allie was begging me for my Hulu passwords so
sure
she
was.
Could watch Difficult People? You guys remember
sure
that?
But you know who's not going to jail? Bean, because he didn't give it up.
He didn't. God, you're a dick. You're the worst.
Guilty.
It's true. Guilty adjacent, because he didn't give
okay.
it to me.
All right.
Which is just a BS move altogether. Pokemon Go, we talked about it yesterday. It has taken off to heights that none of us saw coming, right?
Correct.
What is the stock up being? 25% for Nintendo?
Well, that's what I heard a couple days ago. Yeah, it had been up 25% in just a few days, right? Which is billions of dollars, apparently.
Well, this should be no shock. All the studios now want to make a Pokemon film. Weird. Deadline is reporting that Legendary Pictures is the front runner right now, so... I mean, we'll keep you posted about that Pokemon movie. And of course, what would a huge game be without some scams happening, right?
Sure.
Well, now that you've plugged in all of your personal information to play the game, a lot of people are getting scam emails saying that, okay, now that you're playing the game, Nintendo wants $12.99 a month for you to use the full version of the game. The email then claims that they will freeze your account in 24 hours if you don't upgrade through the App Store. If that's a scam.
Wow.
Don't pay them $12.99. I mean, really.
Now, there's 150 characters so far, but I think there's 750 total.
Right.
So is that what they're saying, that you get all of it?
They're just saying to upgrade to play the full version. Huh. So maybe the full version does include all those games or all those different
characters.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's fake. So that doesn't matter.
Okay.
So what I'm saying
hurry this up because I need to go put that in there.
You need to go cancel that $12.99.
Yeah.
Got it. All of these stars were born today, July the 13th. A lot of hot old dudes is what I'll say.
Okay.
Sir Patrick Stewart is 76 years old today.
Love him.
He looks so good, right? Harrison Ford is 74. I still would.
Not looking as good.
I think he is.
Not as.
Really? Well,
is Patrick Stewart?
Well, no. Nobody looks as good as Patrick Stewart. Cheech Marin is 70. Director Cameron Crowe is 59. Who's watching Roadies? Nobody? Tom Kenny is 54. Ken Jeong is 47. And actor Stephen R. McQueen, who's in Vampire Diaries and Chicago Fire. He is 28 years old today. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
So I saw the caption on this YouTube video that everybody's talking about, and it's, hostile Uber driver refuses to take me to the ER. And I thought, oh, man, this is terrible. This woman got shot, or she got bit by a dog or something like that. This mean man wouldn't take her to the hospital. Not at all what happened.
Then we watched it.
Then we watched the video. We found out that these are two people who should both be on Big Brother and forced to live together because, man, do they hate each other.
Well, you know how much you have road rage on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
You're frustrated. It drives you crazy. People are not paying attention. They turn in front of you. Everybody's honking. Imagine driving full time and having a-holes ride with you.
No.
Yes.
So this woman apparently kept the guy waiting for a while, and then finally she showed up, and then she wasn't really paying attention, and she was going to the emergency room of a hospital. Mm-hmm. And he was at the hospital and trying to get her out of the car, and she wouldn't get out of the car because he wasn't specifically at the emergency room.
Yeah, she wanted him to drive around, I guess, to the other side of the hospital, right in front of the emergency room. But as you'll hear on this tape that we're about to play, she doesn't seem like she's in much hurry to get to the ER.
No, this is not a life-threatening situation.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
And we watched this, and first we were like, wow, that guy's way out of line. And then after just maybe 20 seconds, we were like, okay, this woman is crazy.
Yeah, he's a saint for not murdering this woman.
So she's in the back, and she's got her cell phone up, and she's videotaping this Uber driver that's trying desperately just to end this trip and have her get out of his car.
You are at the hospital. Administration is right here.
I'm going to the emergency room, sir.
Get in there. Get out of my car now.
Where is my destination?
Get out of my car now.
Now, clearly they had been arguing for a while before this started. So he's been trying to just say, please, you know,
get out.
Let's end this. You're at a hospital. It's not that hard to get out unless she's, you know, hurt her leg or something. She can't walk.
Right. You literally can ask the first person you run into, hey, where's the ER entrance?
And you can get there pretty quickly.
Right.
But she's not doing it, and he has had enough.
Sir, I'm asking
you. Get out of my car now.
Now, I'm pretty sure he's being clear about this.
I don't know what he means
There's
by
no
that.
Way that she can misunderstand what's going on here.
I have the right to tell you when to get out of my car. Right now.
I don't know where I am. I'm asking you where is my destination. If you will kindly point
I
at where I am.
Pulled into your destination. It said here I was at your destination. It's over. Get out of my car now.
And he's literally pointing to the hospital, the building in front of the car.
By the way, I also get the feeling that she knows she's videotaping him, so that's why she's remaining so calm and just kind of trying to bait him.
Right.
Just trying to get him angry. So it goes on for a little while, and then she continues to ask him, I don't know where I am.
Sir,
get out of my car now!
Why are you yelling at me?
Because you won't get out of my car!
I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
He's really only got one point. And I feel like that's get out of my car.
How could he not yell at her, by the way?
Yeah, no kidding.
But you're not to yell at me. You are not to yell at me.
1.
Do it. Do it.
He takes his cell phone. He says he's going to dial 911, although he just said 911, and I'm not sure which
He was doing like what you do with a kid, the countdown.
Right, right. He went from 9 to 1?
No, like one, like you go 1, 2, 3. Right? He was saying 9, 1, I'll press 1.
Don't think I won't press that last one.
Yeah. Okay.
Get out of my car.
Where is my destination?
Get out of my car.
Sir, can you just tell me?
Get out of my goddamn car!
Now, at that point, I'm scared. And if I have to crawl to the emergency room, I'm getting out of his car.
Yeah.
Now! Get out of the car now.
Can you please tell me where my destination is?
Okay, now he gets out and he walks around to her side of the car. And we're like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Let's not have anything bad happen here. Right. And to his credit, he opens her door, but then walks back around, gets in the car.
The ride is over. You have been extremely rude, extremely condescending this whole trip.
How have I been extremely rude?
You kept me waiting way too long. You showed up and told me you were in a hurry when you showed no actual effort to be in a hurry. Get out of my car now.
I am just
asking you. Get out of my car now.
I don't know where I am.
Get out of my car now. God damn you to hell.
Plus, she's shooting the vehicle vertically.
I don't think that's the point, B.
Well, I'm just saying, as if I couldn't hate this woman anymore.
Right.
Sir.
Get out of my car!
I am asking
you. Get out of my car! It is my goddamn property! Get out! Now!
All right, let me ask.
All right.
At this point, why doesn't the woman get out of the car?
Because she is a raging bitch.
She's a terrible person.
A horrible human.
I mean, you could tell that she's sort of egging him on. Because
in her head, she thinks, I'm going to post this, and everyone's going to be on my side, and they're going to hate this guy, and, oh, I'm going to feel so good when everyone's like, oh, that was so mean, he was awful to you. F you.
By the way, did you?
She may have misjudged that one.
Did you look at the comments on the video?
Oh,
it's 100%
ruined.
Against the woman.
She was ruined.
Should have been.
No!
You are facing
get out right now!
You are facing...
Get out of my car!
In his defense, again, he's being very clear, and he's only making one request.
Yes, you are right.
I'm facing a f***ing moron! Get out! Now!
You're facing...
Now!
And you look at him, and the veins in his neck are bulging, and he's just about to explode. He may just explode any second.
You have no right to scream at me.
I will talk to you any goddamn way I want.
Really?
Yes, I will.
I believe that's been established.
And I have the right.
You have the right to scream at me?
Get out of my car!
Oh, my God. Honestly, I'm enraged for him.
I am, too. By the way, he needs an ejection seat. That's what he needs. That's the answer here, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's sweet. That's a good idea.
I don't know if that's an option, but that's what he's got to think about getting into.
You have the right to scream at me.
I have asked you to leave my car multiple times.
By the way, at this point, I would scream at her from here if I could. If I had her phone number, I'd scream at her right now.
And I am asking you in a very educated manner.
You're at a hospital.
Where am I? She's literally at a hospital.
Right.
She just is acting like she has no way of getting to the emergency room.
He didn't take you into the middle of the desert, blindfold you, and throw you out of the car.
We wish.
Where you need to be, get out of my car! Can you get her out of my car, please?
He's now asking passerby.
This is some guy passing by that hears the yelling and goes, all right, what's happening? So he's trying now to get the other person to get her out of his car.
Where is the emergency room?
That's on the other side. I'll walk you
on the other side?
That guy says, I'll walk you over there.
Yeah. What else do you need, lady?
Get out of my car!
It goes on, by the way, but that's all we have time for
I think that's enough. That is...
I hope that Uber or Lyft, whoever it was, make sure she never uses their service again.
Agreed. She's the worst.
She's
what kind
awful.
Of rating do you think they gave each other, by the way, at the end of that transaction?
I'm thinking a one.
It's possible, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. San Diego Comic-Con is happening July 22nd through the 24th at the San Diego Convention Center. It's so much fun. These passes, by the way, are the ones that go on sale like a year in advance and sell out in 5 minutes. So you can't really buy them, but you can win a pair right now from the Kevin and Bean Show if you call us at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, what are we looking for this time around?
We are looking for people who know... Comic-Con type movies.
Superhero movies.
Thank you.
I didn't have the title. Get out of my car!
I didn't have the title right there, but
all right. So if you know superhero movies, apparently that'll help you this time around. 1-800-520-1067. You'll play the game next on K Rock.
Get out of my car!
Hey!
Oh, Bean beat you
beat
to
ya.
It.
I can sense it. I knew it was coming, Chip.
Chip is throwing a temper tantrum in the back of the room.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. We want to send you to Comic-Con, talking about the world's largest, well, it says here America's largest comic convention, but I can't think of a bigger one. Comic-Con.org is the website for more information, but you can win your tickets right now with Name That Superhero Movie. Hit it, Steve.
Can you name that superhero movie? Can you name that superhero movie? Can you name, that superhero movie?
All right, we got a bunch of people.
Can you name that superhero movie? Can you name that superhero movie?
All right, thank you, Omar.
Can you name, can you name that superhero movie?
1-800-520-1... Can you name a superhero movie? Oh, can you name a superhero movie?
Oh, we were safe
to
move on.
The movie is about a superhero.
Okay,
can you name it?
We would like to get to the game, please. Okay, are we safe?
I don't know.
We do have people on hold. We're going to be playing a clip from a famous and popular superhero movie. All you have to do is identify it by title. That sounds pretty simple, right? And if you're right, you go into the drawing and you might win tickets to Comic-Con.
Let's start with Corey, who's calling from Redondo Beach. Hi, Corey.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Superhero movies is what's going on and passes for Comic-Con. Are you ready?
Ready.
Here is your movie.
Because he knew the human race had the capacity for goodness, he sent us his only son. His name is Kal-El.
That might be the easiest question we've ever asked.
Superman.
You think? You think? Nicely done.
You're in the drawing. Well done.
You hold on. Let's go to John and Reseda. Hi, John.
Oh, hey.
You're not going to get one that easy. I'm sorry.
No, too bad.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Now, the suit has power, and these are your greatest allies.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
When you're small, you have superhuman strength, so you need to know how to punch.
You want to show me how to punch? Show me how to punch.
Oh, what a great movie. That's John, punch. What is it?
Ant-Man.
Yep, Ant-Man is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's go to Brett in Simi Valley. Hi, Brett.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Are you ready for your movie?
I'm ready.
Name it.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
How much you want?
Half.
Enough from the clown.
All right.
Oh, God. I do not know. I'm going to say The Avengers?
No, I'm sorry. That's Batman The Dark Knight.
Oh, God.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Enough from the clown. That was the giveaway there.
Let's go to Lori in Rancho Santa Margarita. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for your movie?
Yes, I am.
Name this.
You still think we're making you a superhero? We're making you a super slave.
Whatever they did to me made my body indestructible. But my face...
Now,
look at me.
I...
No, look at it.
No, I don't want to.
Exactly.
I'm sorry?
Is it Deadpool?
It is Deadpool. Yes. Nicely done. You hold on.
We're playing Name That Superhero, if you just joined us, by the way.
All right. Let's go to Paul in Garden Grove. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thanks. You ready for your superhero movie?
Let's do it.
Here it is.
He saved my life twice, and I've never even seen his face. You are amazing.
Wow.
So, oh. That's short.
I feel right. Like it's short, but a pretty good giveaway.
Yeah, nice clue there.
Paul, what do you think? Dialogue.
Captain America.
You are
amazing. She said
amazing.
You are amazing. She said the words, you are amazing.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes, but
well, yeah,
second
Paul,
guess,
that's,
sorry.
That's good.
Thank you for the try. Let's go to Alex, who is calling from La Habra. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You ready?
Yes.
Name this superhero movie.
You will be able to withstand virtually anything. It's called Adamantium. You're going to have to embrace the other side. Become the animal.
All right.
Wolverine.
Yeah. X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yes.
I have enough.
Well done. Hold on, please.
All right. Then we got time for another.
Did I just start that one on accident?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Let's go to Brittany in San Dimas. Hi there.
Hello.
Are you ready for your superhero movie?
Yes.
Here you go.
I have an army. We have a Hulk. Maybe your army comes, and maybe it's too much for us, but it's all on you. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Mm.
Is there a clue? Is there any kind of clue in that dialogue?
Why would we put the name of it in there?
Is it the Avengers?
Yes, the Avengers! Why would we put the word? Okay. All right. Hold on, please.
All right. One more. Let's get somebody else qualified for Comic-Con.
All right. Tim in Camarillo. Hi.
Hey, party people.
Are you ready for your superhero movie?
I hope so.
Here you go.
Tony. Someone dies on your watch, you don't give up.
Who said we're giving up?
We are for not taking responsibility for our actions. This document just shifts the blame.
I'm sorry, Steve, that is dangerously arrogant. This is the United Nations we're talking about. It's not the World Security Council. It's not S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not Hydra.
No.
All right.
Show me Iron Man.
Oh, wow. That's the saddest.
I really like that you tried to be funny, and yet it's Captain America Civil War.
It was a period piece. A lot of people didn't see that one.
Right. It was the North and the South fighting for the soul of the nation. But I'm sorry you are not in the drawing, but thank you for listening and thank you for playing. Brittany, however, is, along with Alex, Lori, John, and Corey. Only one will win our passes for Comic-Con at the San Diego Convention Center. Miss Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is John.
John!
Yeah!
John, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're going to have a great time at Comic-Con. You're going to call us and tell us how it was, because we can't go. But thanks for playing the game.
Can you name that superhero movie? Can you name that superhero movie? Can you name? Can you name? Can you name that superhero movie?
Ooh, there was a mosquito. I don't want mosquitoes around me. I don't like mosquitoes. I don't like those mosquitoes. I never did. Okay, speaking of mosquitoes, hello, Hillary. How are you doing?
I was with him right up till that point. I thought that's one thing I could actually agree with Donald Trump about. Right?
That was in the middle of a speech.
Yeah.
Freaking out about a mosquito.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Our next president. Hey, so I'm moving to New Orleans, as has been mentioned on the program before.
Bean is moving to New Orleans.
Yeah, let's just stop there for a second.
What?
Bean does the show from his house, so it doesn't really matter where he lives.
Right.
He's been in Seattle for a long time. He's
17 moving, years now.
He's moving to New Orleans, and I think he's doing that because he loves to party.
He loves to party. Right. He loves going out. He loves festivals.
He loves
like
a lot
Jazz
of people.
Fest, Voodoo Fest.
Nope.
Loves
none
it.
Of those.
Mardi
none
Gras.
Of those
loves boots.
I'm not likely to be leaving my house
he's
in New Orleans.
Have so, he's going to have so many beads.
We cannot right? keep his shirt on. It is. It's awful.
Why are you choosing to move to New Orleans?
All right. Look.
Why New Orleans?
Short version of the story is this, is I've lived in Seattle for mm-hmm. 17 years, and I love it here. It's my favorite place I've ever lived.
So no, move away.
No offense to the wonderful people of Southern California, but I love to live in Seattle. You know, sometimes a city is just a good fit. Mm-hmm. But having lived here for so long, you look around, you go, you know, there are other great places to live as well, and I have the luxury of being able to have a job that is portable. So why not live someplace else as well? I think it has enriched my life to be able to live in different parts of the country. I've lived in Baltimore, and I've lived in San Francisco, and I've lived in
right.
Phoenix.
But my question specifically is New mm-hmm. Orleans.
And New Orleans was chosen for a number of reasons, one of which is it is the opposite of Seattle. In that it's a different
in that it's everything I love, but the opposite.
Seattle is the perfect place, and right. New Orleans is the opposite of that, whatever that is.
But I think it will be great in different ways because it's a completely different people that live there. It's different weather. It's different culture. It's different music. It's going to mix things up a little bit.
I see you calling 911 about the noise 5 times a week.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Just like people outside of Southern California who think it's all Hollywood have never been there and don't realize that Hollywood is just a tiny little part of town that
right.
you can easily avoid, and it's not part of your day-to-day life, for instance. Same thing about New Orleans. People say New Orleans, and they think, oh, Bourbon Street, French Quarter. But that's not an area that I'm likely to be hanging out in. I live in a quiet suburban neighborhood, just like any place else.
Okay.
We're going to get a completely different Bean. He's going to start going to Bourbon Street. He's going to just walk in from being up all night
right.
to do the show.
We're going to hear ice, and we're like, what is that? I'll just finish in my drink. It's ridiculous, Bean.
By the way, in New Orleans, you can carry your drinks outside.
Yeah,
you know,
sure
they got
can.
Those go-to
there's
cups
drive-through.
I know. And there's
drive-through 20... and walk-through. Yeah, drive-through is the funniest, though.
And there's no last call. Everything
right.
is 24 hours. So, yeah, it's perfect for me, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so I'm moving to New Orleans, and I'm kind of going back and forth right now this summer. But the hard move is Labor Day weekend, okay? Mm-hmm. That's when I am going to take my wife and take my dogs and head for Louisiana. But here's the problem, and this is why I think Kevin loves this so much.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's very difficult these days, especially in summertime and especially with the breed of dogs that I have, which are little flat-faced dogs. It's very difficult to find an airline that will fly them. In recent years, they've just had too many problems with dogs like bulldogs having problems with flying, with bad things happening in the air. So you can't do it anymore for the most part.
Okay.
So we thought, how are we going to get these pups to Louisiana? And the answer is we're renting an RV. Why is that funny? That's a very logical solution to the problem.
Okay, there's no way that Mrs. Baxter is going to be in an RV with you driving and those dogs. She's flying separately, right?
That has come up.
Okay.
But she would prefer to keep an eye on the dogs and make sure that because we're worried about the weather being so hot at
sure.
that time of year. You know what I mean? It's 2,500 miles to New Orleans.
Well, the thing that you have going for you mm-hmm. is that your dogs always get along. So you've got that going.
And They're you're used
terrors.
To big cars driving a mini, correct?
This is going to be a larger vehicle than I have ever driven before, and I will be completely honest when I tell you that I am a little bit nervous about that. The reason we're doing an RV, by the way, is because, A, Donna hates road trips.
Right.
Hates them.
This is so good.
She's somebody
so it's a
who
perfect
just,
plan.
Like 45 minutes ride in the passenger seat, she's ready to claw her eyes out to get out of the car. Okay, so the RV gives her and it gives the dogs a little bit of room. There's a bed you can lay down on. There's some room to move back there and everything. So it won't be like being confined in a small car. So that's why we're doing the RV. But I will tell you that, I mean, the smallest RV that I have been to see is 19 feet.
Oh, God.
And I mean, look, I've never driven anything like this before. What do I need to know? Allie, you said you've got some experience with an RV.
I have driven an RV, which should terrify you. But it does. I did a segment with KTLA where I drove an RV and I went through an obstacle course. I failed it so miserably that they begged me never, ever to drive one in real life again. It was so hard being, you don't even know, just the turning. Just behind the wheel. They are immense beasts. Yeah, you're like 7'4". I know we're different in that regard, but once you're in that driver's seat, it's a whole different experience.
I picture being in the left lane, the mm-hmm. fast lane,
yeah.
driving
40.
15 to 20 miles per hour yeah. under the speed yeah. limit, and everybody honking the entire time.
But he's got his road trip mix on, Kevin. he doesn't see it.
Bean drives like a 90-year-old woman.
Completely untrue.
Oh, true.
Absolutely untrue. But I will tell you that I did go and look out I walked into to check out a 25-foot RV the other day, and it seemed very comfortable, like you could live in it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're driving down the road, even though it's mostly interstate, so I'm hoping I won't have to do a lot of turns and curves, when you're driving down the road, I'm worried, doesn't the wind... Really, you feel it when you're driving a big vehicle.
Yes, a high-profile vehicle.
High-profile vehicle, right, yeah. Exactly.
You're hoping for a straight line from Seattle.
He will not stop for gas.
I'm hoping for the interstate. I'm hoping for the interstate. But how do you handle it? Like, how do you, as a driver, and this is maybe too inside baseball to ask this question on the air, but how do you navigate that safely if the wind is wreaking havoc with your high-profile vehicle?
There are times when you have to pull over because it's just too windy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But you're going slow enough. I think it'll be pretty much like sitting by the side of the road.
I'm not going to be. I don't know why.
6 miles an hour.
Get out of the way. The key is I want to get there as fast as possible.
Because
I don't think it's going to be fun for anybody, to tell you the truth. Let's talk to Patrick,
sounds like
please.
A great plan that's not going to be fun for anybody.
Huntington Beach, line one. But, Kevin, I've got to get my family there.
Right.
It may not be a great plan. Give me a better option.
Have someone else drive them.
Pay somebody.
Pay them whatever it takes.
Agree. Agree 100%.
Really?
Absolutely.
You're in the back of an RV with some stranger?
Well, not a stranger. You know enough people that if you paid them,
yeah, pay a friend to do it. And that way you can sit in the back and try to keep your dogs from fighting.
Oh, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying him and Donna fly to New Orleans and whoever drives takes the dogs.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's not do that.
It's a terrible idea because I'm not going to put some person I don't know on the road with my dogs. I'm just not going to make that happen. All right, Patrick, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, so I was just going to say I moved back from Hawaii with my dog, and I didn't feel comfortable putting him under the plane, so I got a note from the doctor as the emotional support animal.
Oh, you're one of those.
Oh, no.
Oh, Patrick.
No. I'm sorry. I hate you, Patrick. Oh.
Because my dog, he was really mellow. He just sat in my lap. I gave him Benadryl.
Right.
You gave him Benadryl.
It's nice, Patrick.
You need to drug your pets before they fly. my dogs are too big to do that anyway. I mean, they're 70-pound dogs.
But at least they don't get along.
Right.
So you've got that going for you.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Not going to do that, but I'm glad it worked out for you.
They're fine. How do you say they're fine? You just had a dog go to the emergency room.
Let's try Tom in Riverside, line three.
Tom, hi.
Hi.
How great of an idea is RV Bean?
I think it's a wonderful idea. Just make sure he films the whole thing.
Okay. All right.
It sounded like you had something interesting to say.
Do you have anything else to help us with?
Yeah. Don't worry about the wind. Worry about pulling into gas stations because you really got to watch those awnings.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, hitting him.
One of those over.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's not getting gas. He's just doing all interstate. You might have missed that.
He's just going straight.
Yep.
Straight from Seattle to New Orleans with no turns.
Yeah.
But I think RVs get about 12 miles per gallon.
Yeah, too, so you got that.
If you're lucky.
For you.
I think it's more like eight.
I won't have to stop for gas every 45 minutes. All right, let's try Reed Bellflower, line two. More advice from the Kevin to Be listeners who are really looking out for me.
Hey, Reed.
Hey, good morning.
Best idea you've ever heard?
When there's wind, the thing you got to mainly do is just make sure you don't overcompensate and turn and roll the RV over.
Oh, my God. Bean. That's my worst nightmare.
I'm going to predict 11 rollovers in this one trip.
Kevin, don't even put that out to the universe.
Seriously. That's 15. A terrible thing.
Okay. 15.
Look, don't people rent U-Hauls and rent RVs and rent other vehicles all the time?
Yeah,
and
yeah, but they're not you.
Yeah, you're not people.
RVs are a brick on wheels.
They are a brick on wheels.
Didn't you drive Marty's truck and wreck it?
I didn't wreck it as much as I did run into a bunch of rocks, but that's not really
technical. How is that not wrecking it?
I just scraped it up a little bit, that's all. But I was.
How big was the truck?
I don't know, probably about 15 feet.
But I was 150.
I was just moving it in the driveway. That's all I was doing. It wasn't even a road trip. I literally was just repositioning it in the driveway.
I'm changing my mind. This is a perfect plan.
Let's do one more.
The best plan you've ever had.
Let's do Rob in Orange. He's going to close this out.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys.
RV Bean.
I think it's a terrible idea for Bean to drive across the country in an RV.
Right.
Okay. Tell me what
he probably has not thought of.
What has he not thought of?
Well, what happens when somebody needs to use the facilities? Are you going to use the one on board, or are you going to pull over at a rest area every time?
I think
he's not pulling over to the rest area or for gas. So we got that. He's got that going for him.
I think it's going to be, as is the case in many places in the world, I think it's going to be a number one only policy in the RV. I don't think I want to deal with pumping or anything like that.
Well, and I just watched.
That's a very good policy.
I just watched Roadies, and they put a bag in, and it's called a hot bag.
I'm not going to be involved.
Bean needs a hot bag.
He's not going to be involved in a hot bag.
All right, glad you called, sir. We'll keep you posted.
This is a great idea, and I fully support it. It is 6:52.
Our old friend Allison Hannigan joins us in studio. Coming up next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
I would like to give something away. Have you guys seen the previews for the movie Lights Out?
Yes.
Terrifying.
Looks so great.
I screamed during a commercial. So obviously I cannot be trusted to go see this movie. This has got Chip written all over it. It is, it's pretty scary. When her little brother Martin experiences the same events that once tested her sanity, Rebecca works to unlock the truth behind the terror, which brings her face to face with an entity that has an attachment to their mother, Sophie. And in the commercial, lights on.
It's
nothing's
gone.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Lights off. Oh! Lights on.
You see the
off.
Shadow of
oh,
oh, so
and
good.
It's just getting closer. And the, oh.
At the end, it says, you've always been afraid of the dark. You were right.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
Honestly, just a butthole clench. It's not good. We're all going to die. But who doesn't want to see this movie? Lights Out comes to theaters on July 22nd, but you can see it early. The first 5 callers are going to get a pair of passes to the premiere of Lights Out on July 19th. At TCL Chinese Theater. So call
now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Thank you, Joto. So call now. The first 5 callers are going to get a pair of passes to not just the movie, the premiere of the movie. So that's a good deal. Kevin, you love Mr. Robot.
I do, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, the second season premiere is tonight. It's 2 hours. Are you prepared?
Yep.
All right, you set love some it. Time aside. Well, are you now prepared to watch the after show?
There's an after robot?
There certainly is.
What's Hardwick doing now?
No, it's not Hardwick, but I believe this guy is well on his way to becoming Hardwick. So if you're a fan of USA's Mr. Robot show, you'll be happy to know that the new after show called Hacking Robot will air tonight after the season 2 premiere. The host is a man named Andy Greenwald. That's him. You might recognize the name. He also hosts the Game of Thrones after show called After the Thrones. So he will be hosting Hacking Robot. So 2-hour premiere tonight, followed by Hacking Robot.
That show, by the way, is so good.
Yeah, it's
so good. And it sort of flew under the radar the first time it was on.
It did, and then it was up for a bunch of awards, so people, I think, started paying a little more attention. But Kevin, you were on board right
so
from
good.
The start.
Almost.
You were an early adopter.
Almost, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Well, that sounds good.
What?
All right, we had some Kevin news. Bean, I've got some news for you.
All right.
You heard.
Let's call him Winnebago Man, if you don't mind.
You're right. Winnebago Man, this is for you. It's some Taylor Swift news.
What's going on with T-Swizzle?
This is bizarre, but we're now finding out maybe what has caused the rift between her and Calvin Harris leading to their breakup. Mm-hmm. Apparently, according to sources connected with Taylor, Taylor Swift really is the creative brains behind Calvin Harris's monster hit, This Is What You Came For. And this is a fascinating story. During their relationship, she wrote the song, sat down at a piano, taped it on her iPhone, sent it to Calvin.
Sure.
He loved it. Mm-hmm. They both went into the studio, did a full demo. Taylor did the vocals, Calvin did the beat. But they didn't want their collaboration to overshadow the song. So she kept the publishing rights, used a pseudonym Niels Joberg on the credits. Fast forward to April 29th, Calvin releases the song with Rihanna, instant hit. It's been at one or two with the dance electronic charts for 9 weeks, number five on the Billboard 100. It's a huge hit. But here's where the problem comes in.
Yes, tell me. So far, it sounds like it was a successful collaboration.
Absolutely. Well, apparently, when Calvin appeared on Ryan Seacrest's radio show, Ryan was asked, "Will you ever do a collaboration with your girlfriend, Taylor?" And Calvin responded, "You know, we haven't even spoken about it, and I really can't see it happening." And Taylor was hurt.
Well, wasn't
she felt it went too far.
Wasn't he just keeping up with their mutual wish to not have a public song?
Didn't you just say you didn't want your collaboration overshadowing the song? Was he supposed to at that point go, "Well, you know, actually the song I'm here to promote, we wrote it together." So she sounds, cuckoo bean. What is that?
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom. It
really doesn't.
She just can't stop writing hit songs.
Yeah, she's written all of them.
That's
my takeaway from this.
She's written every hit song, Bean.
Jesus.
Wow, she
writes
them
away left and right.
Man, she does that a lot.
I mean.
You're welcome, Rihanna.
But if you're wondering about the timeline, and let's be honest, you all are. Apparently, a couple days after this interview on Seacrest radio show is when she went to the Met Gala and danced
with
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. So what did she, assuming any of this is true, what did she want Calvin to say when he's put on the spot, asked about a possible future collaboration?
Maybe he could say something like, "Oh, you know what? We're open to it. We'll see how it goes." But he didn't do that, Taylor?
I think the takeaway here is Taylor Swift is a horrible person.
Awesome, I think a lot of people would get that from the story
I just read. Horrible.
Speaking of creepy, are you looking maybe for a belt or a bracelet made of Alexander McQueen's DNA? Well, sure you are.
No.
Yeah, this is so bizarre. Alexander McQueen's DNA is being turned into leather.
Students, yeah, it's a little creepy.
No, it's way a lot creepy. Students at the famous Central St. Martin's Design School are growing skin out of the DNA from hair samples belonging to the late designer so they can turn it into leather accessories. What?
I don't want that.
I don't want... This is going to open a whole new ball game. Like, this belt, Elvis. Right? These shoes. It's just wrong.
It's DNA souvenirs is what it is.
Is what it is, yeah. But here's the part I loved. The owner of the McQueen hair samples plans to continue providing hair for the leather-making project. Who's the owner of the McQueen hair samples?
Yeah, why does that guy have it?
Whoever stole his body.
Was his body stolen?
No, but it sounds like this guy's got access to unlimited DNA. It's kind of weird.
Well, I'm saying. I'm going to keep on top of that story, you guys.
Good.
Don't worry.
We need the updates.
I am on it. All of these stars were born today, July the 13th. Director Cameron Crowe is 59. Actor Tom Kenny is 54. Ken Jeong is 47. Harrison Ford is 74. And actor Sir Patrick Stewart is turning 76 today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Allison Hannigan joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and the very funny Natasha Leggero later on. Look, we show up every day at the crack of ass, and we do this show. And what do we do, Kevin? We give, and we give, and we give. And then just when you think we can't give anymore, what else? What do we do after that?
Ask for help?
Nope, we give some more.
That's
and, then
what
after,
I mean.
And then after that,
right.
We say, okay, now we're asking for help. Twice a year, you hear us talk about this charity that Kevin and mostly his wife, Melissa, run called Friends and Helpers, friendsandhelpers.org. Let's welcome Mrs. Kevin, Melissa, back to the show.
Hey,
Melissa.
Hi. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Is it Mrs. Kevin's Melissa? Is that the name?
I know I say this. I know I say this every July when you come in, but really, back to school. We're talking about back to school today. I know that's hurtful for some people.
I know that it is, but remember, we have to plan to get everything to everybody who's in need. So we've actually been working on this since February in our world.
Wow.
I know, and I don't even have kids starting elementary or high school anymore. I only have kids going to college, so it's even better for me. So I'm aware of all the needs and all the things that we have to get done.
For people who haven't heard about the charity, explain that quickly.
Okay, Friends and Helpers is a charity that Kevin and I started many, many years ago that helps victims of domestic violence, women and children who basically have nothing. So what we try and do, especially with Back to School, which we can focus on today, is we make sure that every kid that we work with has a backpack to go back to school and snacks, because it's very hard to go to school and not fit in and feel like you're not part of the group and hide by your lockers. So if we can help in our small way by providing backpacks and snacks to kids so they can go to school and feel good, and then the mothers feel confident, and it, you know, kind of breaks the cycle, and that's our goal.
And one less thing for them to worry about, because a lot of these women and a lot of these children left in the middle of the night with nothing but the clothes on their back.
Right. And also, you know, when you're looking at back to school, it's not something that is a frivolous need. Kids need supplies to go to school. The schools don't provide everything. So you need, you know, things like pencils and glue sticks and pens and crayons and notebooks and backpacks. These are a huge part of how you go to school. And without it, you know, then you don't maybe want to attend class and you feel awkward. So this is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's essential stuff that you're helping people with. And I am, you know, always so impressed with how much work your charity does. And like, for instance, when you started the backpack program all those years ago, how many families were you helping compared to, say, last year?
20, maybe.
Tops,
all right.
Right?
First year was like 20. What was it last year, Melissa?
10,000.
10,000 people.
She's not good at containing herself.
No, I'm not. I have, you know, but again, we have a lot of great people. And, you know, Kevin and I have been talking about this a lot, about what we do. And we do it with a massive amount of people. So many volunteers and wonderful, wonderful people. And, you know, everybody wants to do something and help. Everybody wants to. And everybody has a good spot in their heart. Sometimes we just need to lead them to it.
Right.
And you can help in a million different ways.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because there are people out there who have time, and then there are other people who have money, and there are other people who have connections. What sorts of things are you looking for this year?
Okay, well, one of the things that we're doing a little different. We're not having an actual event. Instead, we're going to have drop-off days. So we're going to be at Galpin Ford. We're going to be at the Galaxy. I hope Galaxy's not mad for me saying that. We're going to be at CPK's. We're going to be all over Southern California. And you can help in many ways, even if you want to do your own snack drive at work, or with, like, moms in your neighborhood, or your, you know, with friends, or have a day. And, you know, like, our children are 18, and we always say to them, you know, you can do things with your friends, and they do. It's very easy. You don't have to have money to help. If you go on our website and look, you'll see we do a lot of different things. And there's many ways to help. And even just spreading the word, we appreciate. And I think, you know, Kevin had a good point last night. Do you want to share that, honey?
What was my point last night?
I don't remember. There's a lot of sadness in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We see CNN 24 hours a day, and it's so unbelievably depressing to see another shooting and all of the negative stuff. And you start feeling just helpless and hopeless. But I wish everybody could see it from our vantage point, because we're dealing with a super sad situation, and it's a bummer. But when you see thousands of people, and the K-Rock listeners are always
amazing,
so generous, you realize that a majority of the people are good people that are there. So when you see Orlando happen, for example, maybe you didn't see the 50 to 100,000 people that step forward to help. Mm-hmm. That's really sort of important, because it helps you not be so depressed about the negative part. There's so many people doing positive.
And absolutely, that doesn't make the news. That's not the
right
headlines.
No.
Right?
And, you know, in all the years we've been doing this, I just really want to say that so many people come out that, you know, don't know us, don't know anything, just want to be of service. And it's incredible. I don't think people realize the lives they are changing with every backpack, with every snack bag. A Rice Krispie treat's a big deal when you're trying to sit in with your peers at lunch. And we can't express enough to you how grateful we are for all the support and the fact that people are
affecting change and changing lives.
The website is friendsandhelpers.org. And two things where you can sponsor is a backpack and a snack pack. Mm-hmm. Tell us about those.
Well, our backpack has everything you need to go back to school. And we do it based on grades. We do elementary, junior high, and high school. So it's all correct. And we work with teachers to do so. And the snack bag is to provide nutrition. Okay, and people have different feelings about nutrition. But I am
for it. I don't know what other feelings are out there.
I approve it. I mean, what is nutritional? Bean, you're a good example of that. You love a 7-Eleven junk food more than anybody.
I do. And I have body by 7-Eleven. It's quite evident when you look at me.
Right. You love that. So imagine if you're at school and your friends are all around the snack table. You want to be able to trade snacks, visit with friends. And sometimes that's all people get. Like this summer when school's out, one of the things we work on a lot is getting food to people. Because they don't have as many things and there's no lunch programs. Mm-hmm. So if you look at our list and you go on our website at friendsandhelpers.org, you can see everything that you need. And whether you're a parent or you're not, anything that you do is going to make a difference for kids starting school. And that's so valuable. And it's so very important. It's not a frivolous thing. It's something that really makes change. I know I say that a lot, but every time I think we're not going to add more people to our program, we are touched by so many people who want to help.
Are you stunned, by the way? That number stunned me that you gave about the 10,000 people that you helped last year. Are you amazed at how much need there is in Southern California?
Yes, I am so amazed by it. And we work all year. We don't just have these events. So, you know, we've got guys like Bo at Galpin Ford who give us trucks so we can deliver. You know, we're always moving and going.
It used to be a truck or two.
Now
he was like,
20.
Yeah, fine, no problem. Now that was like 25. I don't think Bo knows.
No, Bo doesn't know.
You guys are actually taking advantage of him at this point.
I don't think he's paying attention.
I know.
Can I just say, from somebody that has donated from the website, you could not make it easier. You just log into friendsandhelpers.org. You want to sponsor a backpack for $25? Click here. Boom. Put in your money. Put in, is it PayPal also?
It's all PayPal, it's secure.
So simple, so quick. In the course of 3 minutes, you could have, you know, done 5 snack bags, a backpack, anything.
Right.
One click. It is so easy.
And here's something that I'm most proud of and that I, of course, had nothing to do with because I'm a spokesmodel.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
how I
you
like to
are
think of myself.
Yes,
just like on this show, you're basically here for your good looks.
Yes,
right, exactly.
As we know.
Is that 100% of the money that you spend goes actually to these children and to these parents? And that is not true of all charities. There's a lot of overhead in charities. And we've set this up, and by we, I mean Melissa, has set this up so that 100% of what you donate goes directly to the people who need it. There's no overhead cost. There's nothing.
Very rare. Yeah.
Which is why when you talk to me and I'm on my couch with the dog working, it's because it's cheaper for me to work out of my house sometimes than go to my office. And it's just easier. I can get more done. I can start at 5 in the morning. And, you know, we have wonderful people that work with us. I don't want to take that away from anybody because people give so much. Doesn't matter how hot it is. Doesn't matter how tired they are. We keep going till everybody gets what they need. And
well,
that's our goal.
It is twice a year, as I say, we come to you and we ask for help. But I know that you hear from K-Rock listeners throughout the year are always very supportive. And they have really been great. And I know that they'll be great again this year. It's the Friends and Helpers Back to School Program. As Ali mentioned, you can sponsor that backpack for just $25 or the snack bag for $10. But there's lots of other ways that you can donate, lots of other ways that you can help. You can get a complete list of all of the drop-off locations for this year's program at friendsandhelpers.org. That is the site. Good luck this year.
Thanks, Bean.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, you guys, for having me.
I was trying to guess when the first time would have been that we would have had Allison Hannigan on the show. It has to be over 15 years ago, right, Allison?
Oh, at least.
At least,
yeah,
right?
Because I think
like forever.
Well, I think Buffy went off the air over 15 years ago. So mm-hmm. I would have come you know, 7 years before that.
Wow. It could be 20. It could be more than 20 years we've been having you on the program.
I'm old.
Yet you walked in the first words out of your mouth were a smackdown on me.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
First words that, not, hey, guys, how you doing? Great Mm-mm. to see you. You walked
in. Well, I said that to everybody else.
Right.
Yes.
You walked in with a mission. Mm-hmm. What's the problem? Are we breaking up?
Well, apparently, yes, but you started it being you unfollowed me on Twitter.
Oh, well, that doesn't mean
anything.
What do you mean it doesn't mean anything? It means something to Allison.
I know, but
it hurt my feelings, Bean.
I still love you full-time all the time, but I can't follow everybody. Come on.
Bean, look at her face right now.
I know. She actually is a great actress.
know. It's well, fine. Whatever. I'm
excited that you are.
I tweet about my beautiful children. And
well,
I know you
you
only
are really
wanna,
into those goddamn kids. I'll tell you that.
You only want to hear about animals.
Not a fan of children.
All of that is true, what you just said.
Yes.
Well, Allison, I feel like, am I wrong about this, that since How I Met Your Mother went off the air, you have taken it a little easier than you had previously in your career? Like,
definitely.
We haven't seen as much of you, right?
Definitely, absolutely.
And that's what a blessing and a luxury to be able to do that, right?
Absolutely. It's been fantastic, and I've just loved being mommy, and we have chickens. Huh? Bean?
Huh?
See,
tweet
now,
about
you
a chicken.
Wow. Now you can follow
He's
me.
Back in.
Tweet about a chicken. Bean's all over that.
You're raising your own for meat or for eggs or what?
Eggs. Yes.
How many you got?
Three.
And how close do you live to your neighbors, and how do they feel about you raising chickens?
Well, we did move to a bigger house because they needed more land, not for the kids, but for the chickens. And shortly thereafter, our next door neighbors did move away.
Oh, how about that?
Weird. Curious.
Bean strange. Had his neighbors kill it.
I did
they
not.
Had a,
that's
yeah.
not
a rooster.
Well, we don't have a rooster.
They had a rooster that was making a lot of noise, and Bean said, hey, take care of that.
I've heard that,
and that
story.
Okay. And that yeah. guy actually interpreted it as take it out.
And that's not at all what I meant. Do you name your chickens, Allison?
My children got to name them.
And? Okay.
Cuddles.
Cuddles.
Rainbow and Feathers, who used to be Fluffy, but Cuddles turned out to be fluffier than Feathers.
Oh,
wait, Fluffy. Yeah, Fluffy got changed to Feathers because Cuddles.
Plot twist. Right?
Cuddles is the fluffy one.
Sure. Whoa, I need a flowchart.
Wow.
And last this question on this that I promise we'll move on is how many eggs are you getting out of them?
Usually three a day. Like
wow.
one each.
Wow.
But Cuddles I mean, you know, sometimes she takes it easy. She's a little...
She's a slacker.
She's adorable, but she might be a little slow.
Okay.
Yeah. She sleeps on the floor, and she lays her eggs on the floor of the coop, and she's a loner. She's like the bean of chickens.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
She and
that's the perfect way to describe.
She has like feathers on her cheeks, so I don't think she can see very well. So
Bean has feathers on his cheeks as well.
So I always try to rub them down so she can see better.
Mm-hmm. Well, Allison has been busy since she left TV.
This is why I'm back to work.
You're with those chickens. Yeah, you've got to get out of the house. So Allison, you are doing something, if I understand correctly, that you have never done in your long, illustrious career, and that is you are a television host now.
I am.
Right? That's an entirely different skill than being an actress.
It is. And we'll see how it goes.
How did that come about?
You know, it just was a great phone call that Penn and Teller Fool Us. They just asked if I would like to take over for the
So it wasn't like an audition or anything? They
no.
just called you and they said, you're the person.
Yeah, I
if
don't
you
know.
Can leave Cuddles yes. for long enough, you can be the host of our show.
I know. I hope it wasn't a giant mistake on their part, but I had a blast. And
what in your background suggested to them that you would be a good host for this show? I mean, obviously you're very personable, but they've never seen you host anything before.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess they knew I liked Penn and Teller, maybe. maybe because Willow on Buffy was into magic. Maybe that had something.
Oh, there's a tie-in.
Well, here's the thing, too, with a show like this that involves magic, to see it from somebody that doesn't know magic and to see those genuine reactions,
yes.
me as a viewer, I want to see that.
See, and that's what I thought I would add to it, because I'm really... I'm sitting on the couch with you.
Absolutely.
And I'm adding that perspective because I don't know that much about magic.
Yeah.
And I really love magic.
Yeah.
And I like to be fooled. In fact, sitting on the sideline, I don't want... If there is the like,
here's
have
how we
the
do
view,
it. Yeah.
I actually look at the monitor because I don't want to see behind the curtain.
I'm with you.
But I also do want to figure it out myself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about the show is that they give you enough of... you know, the tricks to make you not feel like you're an idiot, or like that club thing of magic where it's like, no, you can't know any of our secrets because we're the magic club and blah, right. blah, blah. Well, like that was what was so frustrating as a kid when I loved magic. I was like, well, tell me the trick. And no, you can't.
I feel like
part of the secret.
I feel like Penn is one of the smartest people we know.
Yeah. Oh,
he's a genius.
And,
oh, my gosh.
And you would think that kind of snobbery would come with being that crazy intelligent, but he's not at all like that.
No,
that's impressive.
And Teller is just—he's like Yoda of magic.
Is he?
Yes, he really is.
He's little and green now.
Well,
that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I probably shouldn't have told you that.
Oh, but. Spoiler!
But it is so incredible, and it's such a different world to be in. And these magicians come on, and you know,
yeah. Describe the show for people who haven't seen it.
Well, basically, it's magicians going on and trying to do magic tricks that will fool Penn and Teller, and so Penn and Teller will sort of try to figure out how they do it. Now, some of the tricks, obviously, they've seen, and maybe there's two ways of doing it, so they have to guess one, and maybe they've done another, and some people fool them and some don't. People create their own tricks, but it's just so much fun to be part of and to watch, and these magicians are... This is a chance of a lifetime, you know.
Right.
These are their idols that they're performing.
Oh, you get your name made if you can fool Penn and Teller.
Yeah, and if they do win, they get to open up for Penn and Teller for their Vegas show.
Oh, nice!
So it's huge.
I have seen this show, a number of episodes of this show, and I love it. And it's been great in the past. Of course, that was before you started. But I mean,
so what? Now you're not going to watch?
He meant is he's going to watch it more now.
Right?
He didn't watch it so hard.
Better than ever before.
Yeah.
But I guess what my point was going to be, I am, and maybe I'm dumb, so surprised how many up-and-coming magicians there are. Like, there are people every day who are waking up and going, I want to be a professional magician.
Absolutely.
That was a surprise to me.
Absolutely.
That's a terrible choice, though, right?
It is not. Kevin is not that into magic. I'm obsessed. Like, I will go and see, like, a Justin Willman, Derek Hughes. I am so obsessed. I love it so much. Kevin, is it that you
maybe
don't
I've seen
like
too
to
many
be
lame ones?
You have,
yes.
Because
maybe I've seen
there
too many lame
are
magicians.
Phenomenal people out there now that you'll laugh, you'll cry.
Yeah,
do you fall in love all over
you'll
again?
You'll fall in love all over again.
It is, and I really feel like, you know, my not being a host is hopefully going to be refreshing because I don't know what I'm doing.
Good.
And just. Adding that perspective of the audience and saying, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why would you swallow a knife or a sword? And why would you make me take it out of your throat?
Oh, no.
Which they did.
They ask you to help a lot, really?
Oh, my.
Did you have to say no to anything?
Well,
hold it right there. Hold it right there, because we got to take a very quick break. I'm sorry. Our friend Allison Hannigan is here on the Kevin Bean Show. The show is called Penn and Teller Fool Us, season premiere tonight at 8 on the CW. More with Allison right after this on K-Rock. Allison Hannigan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the new host of Penn and Teller Fool Us. You've seen their show at the Rio, right, Allison? It's incredible.
Well, I haven't seen the full show, but they do tricks in the Fool Us show, and so I got to watch them, obviously, when we were taping the show, and that was amazing, because they'll do the trick, and then they'll show you how they did the trick, which is so much fun, and I love that they are just letting you in on the secrets.
Are there people who say, don't tell me how it works?
I hope not. But you know what else is great? When a magician comes on and does something so amazing, they talk in code so that they don't give away that magician's trick.
Interesting. So if they know, if they're not fooled, they don't say they know and they don't explain it.
Right. If it's good enough, I mean, if it's a lame trick, they'll be like, well, you just did that.
Right.
Like, up your ante. Which, obviously, there aren't that many of those magicians that make it onto the show. But if it's something phenomenal that they did really well, they'll just speak in code, and I think I'm having a stroke. And then the magician will be like, okay, you got me. And then I'll be like, all right, well, let's go.
You said during the break that somebody fooled them twice.
Yes.
Oh, that's got to drive me crazy.
Oh, they were so mad.
Is it frustrating for them if they get fooled?
Yeah, well, they first of all, they don't know who's going to be on the show. So they were mad that he was just that he had come back because he had fooled them in the first season. And so they were still mad that he had fooled them originally. And so to see it, and they were like, fool me once, fool. But then he did. And they were just like, no. And the greatest part about any kind of fooler, but especially this one, is you know, they the fooler fools and a trophy drops down, and they a Penn and Teller come on stage and give them the trophy, and then the fooler walks off, and we go to commercial, blah blah blah. But you know, when we're shooting it, Penn and Teller stay up on stage and they can't not figure it out. So they keep talking to, amongst themselves.
It just drives them crazy.
I'm standing there trying to be invisible so I get to hear what they're saying. And they are so intelligent. And the things that they come up with on, like, ideas of how the magician might have possibly done a trick is just staggering. I'm like, wow, is that a wait, like,
is that a thing?
It's
yeah,
just amazing.
How many times do people make up tricks that they figure out how to do it?
A lot.
They do.
Yeah, most. I mean, most of the magicians come up with, when they're going to be on the show, they decide, okay, I'm going to make something.
Well,
up
if you're in front of Penn and Teller, you can't half-ass it. So
no,
you right. probably try.
Well, I'm amazed. When we've had Penn on in the past, when he's talked about some of their signature tricks in their act, they come up with a trick, and sometimes it takes them 3 or 4 years to be ready to do it on stage. There's that much preparation in getting it just right. So,
absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing the craftsmanship that goes into these tricks. Allison, you mentioned before the break that you participate sometimes in the magic tricks.
Yes. They make me, which I enjoy, but I don't know what is going to be thrown at me. In fact, one sword swallower made me take a sword out of him, out of his mouth.
And you're thinking, I could kill him now.
I wasn't thinking that. He was telling me how I could kill him. Like, if you move your hand ever so slightly, 1 inch to the right, you'll hit my heart and blow up, and I will just die right here.
So I would say, that's a terrible choice having me do it.
I know.
Feel like there's waivers, things should be signed.
And by the way, this sword was like 3 feet long, it felt like. It might have been a toothpick, but if
you don't know
really,
how it works.
I blacked out. It was disgusting.
So those swords are real when they swallow a sword.
I always thought it was like a collapsible thing, like on Buffy when you just did the stakes, they just collapsed.
Right.
Buffy wasn't really magic. It was more of
those weren't real.
Yeah.
We didn't really stab anyone.
Now I don't like Buffy anymore.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a bummer. Wow. Who knew? Ruined my childhood.
Oh, sorry.
Allison, do you, when the cameras aren't rolling, get to hear Teller talk?
Yes.
And does that freak your whole mind view out? I mean, because you grew up your whole life never hearing this guy talk.
I know. Well, and the funny thing is, taking my kids, you know, they're sort of first, I think, celebrity, you know, icons or whatever are Penn and Teller. And they thought, like, the only reason to go to Vegas is for Penn and Teller.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And so they were like, do you think Teller's really going to talk? And really, do you think? And then you drive up to the Rio and their pictures are on the side.
Yep.
And it was a big deal for them. They're and seven. And so Teller, like, taught them magic tricks.
Oh, really?
And, like, he couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, that's sweet.
And the German accent doesn't bother him at all.
No,
totally kidding.
What?
No,
what?
Not at all. He's so sweet. He's so awesome. And I mean, he's an encyclopedia of magic. It is really incredible. And honestly, like, to see the magicians meet Penn and Teller, it is really wonderful.
Well, I'll bet.
I'll
bet, because they've been successful for how long?
Yeah, they're the best.
Decades. They've been
30 years or something?
I think they've been working together for 40 years.
40 years.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing. Wow, Penn and Teller Fool Us is the name of the show, by the way. Season premiere is going to be tonight at 8 on the CW with Allison Hannigan as the host. Are you coming out of, you know, we mentioned when you first sat down that you have taken a little bit of time off. Now you're doing this hosting thing, and I see you also got some acting gigs already lined up, too. It seems like you're coming out of retirement a little bit.
Yes, my daughters didn't want to go to camp this summer, so I'm like, yeah, I think I'll go back to work.
If that's the case, I'm out.
All right. Have fun. Yeah.
First Wives Club?
Yes, we're actually starting shooting this this week. We started rehearsal and we'll shoot next week.
Those are mean ladies, right? The First Wives, if I remember correctly.
No, they weren't. They were wronged by the men in their life, Bean.
Oh, I see it.
This is, you know, this, it's, well, we'll see.
It's always Bean's guess.
Yeah. But it's a great group, and I'm really excited.
It's Megan Hilty and Vanessa Lachey?
Yes.
And fun.
It's so much fun. We're having a blast already.
I like it. Are you showing them magic? Are they like, we get it, Allison?
Driving everybody crazy with the magic tricks?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really excited. We're having a blast. It's really fun. So,
well, it's awesome. I'm glad things are continuing to go so well for you, Allison.
Thank you, Bean.
Why don't I don't like the derision in your voice?
We'll follow her on Twitter.
All right. Well, Bean, we're probably going up to Washington soon. You want to hang out with me and my kids?
Oh, you know what? I actually have a thing that weekend. I'm not going to be able to mention a date.
Yeah,
no, but that particular date that she was thinking of, I know I
say it out loud, yeah, so you don't know what
we're
it is.
We're flexible. So.
Will you look at the time? I can't believe we got to go. We love you, Allison. Have fun on the TV tonight. Thanks for coming in.
We'll give you his address.
Oh, perfect. Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
You guys are awesome and looking dapper. You guys are looking dapper.
Thank you, Beer Mug. It's very kind of you.
That's nice. Appreciate that.
Wednesday morning, Ralph is out today. Ali is filling in with the Showbiz Beat. And then we're going to be looking at you, flight attendants. We're going to talk about your awful, awful job coming up just after 8. What's going on, Ali?
Did you guys see why Jennifer Aniston was trending yesterday on Twitter?
Did not.
One of the top trends.
I did, and I hate that you supported her for that.
Oh, you're the worst.
Sit down.
You are the worst.
What?
And here is why. Usually you see her name trending and you're like, oh, God, is it another pregnancy rumor? Is it another? What is it? And basically it was her addressing all of that because she is done. She is angry. She is mad. She is completely fed up with this cycle, this machine of basically the paparazzi putting her worth on whether or not she's pregnant.
In other words, she is tired of seeing her face on the front of all the tabloids at the supermarket every week.
Absolutely.
How could you blame her for that?
That's
been going on for 20 years.
Every time she goes outside, there's paparazzi zooming in on her belly. Every time she eats a burrito, she's probably thinking, oh, God, I should probably stop because if I have a little bit of pouch, then I'm going to answer for the next 2 weeks if I'm pregnant or not. It's absurd. It's disgusting. And she's finally fed up. And she doesn't have social media, so she wrote an article for the Huffington Post that is amazing. You should just go find it, read it. People like Bean are the freaking problem. You're the worst, Bean. And
How am I the worst? I'm not out in front of her house taking pictures of her baby belly.
But you're basically saying what she's saying isn't valid. And it's so valid. So stop belittling it. I will drive up to Seattle.
I would like to see
and
that.
Punch you in the face.
I would love to see that.
I won't even fly because I've got that much anger right now just to drive.
And you don't even need gasoline because hate will fuel your car.
You are so right. So she says in it, I'm just going to read a couple parts, but she says, for the record, I am not pregnant. What I am is fed up. I'm fed up with the sport-like scrutiny and body shaming that occurs daily under the guise of journalism and the First Amendment and celebrity news. She goes on talking about how she's harassed by dozens of photogs every single day. And a lot of people think, oh, well, you're a celebrity. Get used to it. That's what you're there for. No, it's
I don't
past
think that.
That.
For it her, is, it seems worse than everybody else.
It is so past it. But here's the part that I just went, amen. And it's so sad you have to say it, but so many think it. She said, here's where I come out on this topic. We are complete with or without a mate, with or without a child. We get to decide for ourselves what is beautiful when it comes to our bodies. The decision is ours and ours alone. So let's make that decision for ourselves and for the young women in the world who look to us as examples. Let's make that decision consciously outside of the tabloid noise. We don't need to be married or mothers to be complete. We get to determine our own happily ever after for ourselves.
Well said.
Boom!
Are there in-person That's meetups well for you barren women? I mean, do you guys all get together and compare notes? Or is it just an online thing?
Bean, I know you're kidding, but the fact that so many people believe that. So many people truly believe that your worth is determined by if you have kids or not, if you're married or not, because that apparently means happiness to some people. And you know what?
That's a stupid thought.
It is a stupid thought, but people believe it. And then when he jokes about it, those people are like, oh, yeah, I agree with
Bean. Right? I'm with that guy.
You don't know that your words actually have power, Bean.
My word.
No
one,
as that is,
no one is listening to what I'm saying.
Believe
me. Let's hope that that is not true.
Trust me. There are dudes out there right now like, oh, she only read that because she doesn't have a boyfriend. True. No, it's not true. It's valid, and it took her getting so fed up to just say, enough. I have to write a effing article for Huffington Post.
That was beautifully written, though.
Oh, and she's beyond eloquent, and it's worth a read.
Do we even know who the man is who wrote it for?
You know what, Bean? I swear to God, I want to take your tiny little penis and just squeeze and rip
what?
It off.
Whoa.
That sort of coarse language is far beneath the dignity of this room.
I don't believe it is.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
I'm
not sure it's a race
penis.
War. I think we're just
little white penis.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
Thank right?
That's,
you're right.
That is actually
that
Donna.
We can all agree on.
That's his wife every night. All right, let's move along to some happier news. Demi Lovato and Nick Jonas didn't have to cancel their concert last night.
Oh, thank God.
But it was up in the air for a while because at the Prudential Center last night in Newark, New Jersey, around 3 p.m., everyone was cleared out of the building because of a suspicious package found outside. But police took a look around and realized it was just a microwave oven. What?
What? Why was
what
that
the,
there?
With the, and the, huh? The show went on. Everything's fine. You got to see Demi. You got to see Nick. Which, by the way, they just performed at Staples Center. I'm not going to lie. I watched some of the video.
Did you really?
They were really good.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
I'm saying. Not bad. He is not bad. For all of you fans of Marvel's X-Men, how do you feel about a TV show, a series in the works?
I would be in.
Absolutely. Fox TV is reportedly working on that new TV series, and Variety says the series will reportedly focus on two ordinary parents who discover their children possess mutant powers.
I like it.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good.
I liked the last X-Men movie that just came out, too. That was good.
X-Men.
Apocalypse.
What?
Apocalypse. Am I not saying that right? Apocalypse?
You got it on the third try.
Okay.
I love you, Kevin. I really do. All of these stars were born today, July the 13th. Sir Patrick Stewart is 76. Cheech Marin is 70. Director Cameron Crowe is 59. Tom Kenny is 54. Actor Ken Jeong is 47. Actor Stephen R. McQueen is 28. And the wonderful, perfect, the best part of Star Wars, in my humble opinion, actor Harrison Ford, 74 years old today. I love him so much.
He's still got it, right?
He's still got it. He could get it. Well, I'm fine. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat. Little unsteady.
Why is that song still so good, by the way?
So good.
Right? Hey, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Don't forget the new 2016 K-Rock Summer Sticker is now available at all SoCal Hot Topic locations. What you do is you pick up your sticker for free, then you go to krock.com, enter in the password on the back, and you could win the band 21 Pilots coming to your home and a 2016 Honda Civic. It's too much. Get all the details at krock.com.
Let's talk about flight attendants. That's got to be a terrible job.
You know, I was thinking about
this.
Stuck. Yeah, you're stuck. I was thinking that there was a time where being a flight attendant to many people looked like the most desirable,
glamorous,
exciting job in the world. Mm-hmm. And now I just feel like, along with being a passenger on a plane, it must just be so miserable because you spend all of your time with people who are cranky and unhappy, and you're playing waiter or waitress or nurse for the 90% of the time you're in the air. That's it. I mean,
and
I
you can't walk away from them, really?
You can't walk away,
you're
yeah.
stuck.
And you can't hit them.
Right?
So that's upsetting. And
you think about how horrible most people are in general.
Yeah.
And then think about how much worse they are when they're flying.
Yeah.
And then you are their servant, basically, for the duration of that flight. I don't know why anybody would want this job. I mean, I guess the advantage is occasionally you get a 2-day layover in Miami, and that's what makes it worth it, is you travel for free. That's the advantage. But, I mean, it was brought back into sharp focus just this week. We've got some news here from, this was from TMZ yesterday, talking about the incident with former Laker Lamar Odom over the weekend.
Lamar Odom was at LAX on Monday night. He was catching a red-eye flight to New York, unclear what for. But we're told he hit up the Delta first-class lounge before and was pounding back beers and whiskey before the flight. Now, we actually spoke to somebody that was in first class that witnessed this whole incident go down, said they saw Lamar on the plane. Before takeoff, he bolted to the front of the plane, threw up in the galley, went to the bathroom with the door open, threw up again, came out, apparently had puke all over his clothes. Oh. So Lamar was actually asked to leave the plane by the flight staff. He did leave. They took his stuff. About 10 minutes later, he came back.
Now, I didn't know this part. They escorted him off. Then, before the plane left, he boarded again.
Hmm.
Still had vomit on his clothes. We're told that passengers on the plane were warning the flight staff about Lamar's history with drugs and alcohol, saying, quote, they don't want a dead body at 30,000 feet. Lamar again went to the bathroom and then was removed again.
Oh, by the way, what? So many sound effects.
Lots
I don't
swiping.
Know what's going on
Lots
on TMZ these
Those
days.
Are odd when you can't watch it.
It didn't seem like something else was going on beyond listening to that guy talk. So if you're a flight attendant, we want to hear from you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a long time since we've opened it up to those people who work in the air at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear what your stories are like, because I imagine that there must be more training in how to deal with drunk people than there is in how to safely evacuate a plane in the event of a fire. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would assume so. Why would they let Lamar back on if he's still
there? I don't
know. That's
his
an
clothing
odd choice.
Was covered with puke.
Yeah.
Right.
To
yeah.
me, let's just go ahead and leave him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird. That is a mystery of part of that story.
No, it's good. You're all good. Come on back on the plane.
You're probably sobered up in this
sure.
12 minutes.
Right.
And by the way, we talk all the time, and this is a pet peeve of Ralph, RIP, and he talks about these people who fly with no shoes on, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that just gets me thinking about all the things that flight attendants have to see and disgusting habits that people have and things that they do and what they do with their food and with their trash and with their kids and all the other stuff that goes
kids.
On.
Can you imagine? Because not only are the kids screaming, but all of the other passengers around them are complaining.
Yeah.
And what do you do? You don't have to tell us where you work if that is a deal breaker.
Yeah, it's probably best you don't.
Call in anonymously. But if you're a flight attendant, wow. Wow. Good on you. I don't know how you do it.
One of my closest friends is still a flight attendant. She wouldn't come on today. But she used to fly for Song, which was an offshoot of Delta. They mostly did northeastern flights down to Florida. That turned her off of flying completely. So now she does the international routes because they usually have a nice little layover in, say, a Dublin, that type of thing. And she's at the seniority level right now that she can actually decide what flight she wants, whatever, trade really easily. But her stories, good Lord. And she's a lot like me. You don't want me in the air with you ever.
I don't want you in this room with us.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. But people's
like what? What do people do?
Can I ask you to pause for just one
second? Sure.
Who's waving a sign around in the other room that we're apparently supposed to be looking at right now?
I don't know, but I can't see it.
Oh. We can't read the sign?
It's Allison Hannigan.
Oh, it's Allison.
I was out of the room because she was in the office trying to figure out
what's happening?
The 90s band
was. Oh, she figured it
out. Oh, she figured it out. So unrelated to this conversation. Okay. All right.
It's just been driving her crazy. It's Possum Dixon.
I still don't know what
that
is. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Allison. You can go now.
Her kids are like, is mommy ever coming home?
She was in there. They were all like Googling to try and figure out who it was.
I love it.
Oh, she's awesome.
All right. Just to recap and put a nail in that, Allison was telling us about her Penn & Teller show that she's doing tonight. And she said there's somebody from a former K-Rock band from the 90s who left music and is now a magician. And he shows up on the show this season, but she couldn't remember who it was. And it was just driving her crazy. So apparently it's a guy from Possum Dixon.
She was in there. Dave was typing. Christine was typing. They were all desperate to find out. And they, if they didn't find out, they would be there tonight, and they would be there tomorrow morning as well.
Right. All right. Allie, you hang on to your stories from your friend, because let's go to Liz real quick. She's in Lake Forest. She's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls from flight attendants at 1-800-520-1067. Is your job as awful as it seems like it would be to us? Liz, thank you so much for calling. Are you a flight attendant?
I am.
Okay. All right. So you hear this Lamar story, and what do you think?
I just think, it happens. But and he should not, you know, normally he's not let, somebody like that is not let back on the plane. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's since, you know, the whole 9/11 thing, people are really vigilant, and especially with, you know, people being a little more intoxicated.
Did they let him back on the plane, would you guess, because he's a celebrity?
That's exactly what I was saying. That's exactly it. Okay. That's exactly it. Because there's no way, because that's such a liability, especially since he, you know, he OD'd and all that stuff before. It's just like people are saying, they don't want a death at 3,000 feet or 30,000
right.
feet.
Right. Of course, yeah. So Liz, is alcohol the biggest problem for you among passengers as a flight attendant, or is it just in general that people are dicks? Or both?
Yes.
Yes.
The latter, and then the alcohol just exacerbates the fact that people are pretty much dicks.
And how do you handle it? I mean, like, are you stressed out every day when that flight takes off, or is it? I mean, are you just a Zen person? You're able just to accept it and let it roll off your back. Does it ever get to you?
Oh, it totally gets to you. It totally does. But then you know, basically, just as long as you can keep your smile and say things, you can really kind of get away with a whole lot that you wouldn't normally be able to get. You know, you have to, because you're in uniform, you have to be careful how you present everything.
Right,
you're saying,
sure. But so you can't
sudden,
say...
I mean, that... If it really gets too bad, I mean, now we're just like, you know, before we take off the ground, it's like, okay, here's your choice. You can get off and take another flight, or you can sit there and shut your trap and behave.
I like
Or if you're in the air, then it's like, okay, guess who's going to be meeting you at the gate, or at the, you know, when we land. At the
right.
You have no... Yeah, the FAA is helping us out that too, you know, that way too. But it's, you know, you try to.
We're going
to
take
really
calls
to calm
again
down.
From flight attendants, 1-800-520-1067. You can change your name. You don't have to tell us where you work, because we don't want you to get in trouble. But do you size people up when they're getting on the plane? Do you look
absolutely.
At each one
absolutely.
And go, okay, good. Trouble.
I do it from my seat.
I do too.
So she sure does.
Absolutely.
And are you right a lot of the time?
Yes.
Liz, have you noticed, this is what my friend says, because of, you know, the increase in the fares and everybody's, you know, kind of in there like cattle, the sense of entitlement has become heightened. I paid this much for my ticket. You owe me now.
Exactly. It's unbelievable. My favorite is when they, you know, it's like hold up their glass and they shake the ice. More Coke.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. I'm like, still walking down the aisle here.
What do you do as somebody who used to have little kids and we used to travel? You're, as a parent, you're so petrified that your kids are going to ruin everybody else's
stuff. Well, good parents are.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do if a kid is crying? And honestly, sometimes there's nothing a parent can do, but everybody around that person must complain to you. You can't walk up and just tell them, hey, how about less noise?
I take the side of the parent. And if it's because as a parent myself, and Allie's exactly right, as a good parent, you're stressed out about it. There's so many parents that just let their kids do whatever, pounding on the seats, jumping on. I mean, that had somebody jumping on the tray table the other day. It was like, wait a minute.
Really?
Damage the plane, you're going to have to pay for it, which, of course, we can't make them do that.
Right. You bring alcohol for the kids is what you do. That's the obvious solution,
like,
right?
Yeah, I can't be TV-ing. Here's some bourbon.
Liz, a couple of years ago, there were a rash of stories about actual fist fights that broke out in planes because of people putting the seats back. Is that still a problem?
That is still a problem. I actually had a fist fight break out on one of my flights because of that. And,
but wait, let me just interrupt. Why does that happen? If the seat goes back, I assume the person in front of me is allowed to move the seat back.
They are.
Okay, so why would...
But if you're trying to work on your computer and they move their seat too far back, and there's, you know, they've reduced all the room, basically.
Right.
So you have no... When the seat comes back, you don't have as much space.
No,
your,
I know.
In front of you.
I know, but you sort of, that's sort of the deal you know going in.
I think you're allowed to, Kevin, but it's a dick move if you do.
But it's also back to that sense of entitlement.
Okay, hold on, Liz. Bean, you think it's a dick move to put the seat back?
Well, remember, I'm a person who literally has his knees in his chest
right.
if the seat goes back.
How is that my fault?
Because we're humans and we're all in an environment where we do have to look out for one another. That's how.
If I saw somebody behind me that was 6'6", I wouldn't put my seat back. But I wouldn't call the person who does a dick.
I would never put my seat back. I just wouldn't
really?
Do that to the person sitting by me ever. I just wouldn't. I just think I think it's a flaw in the design of an airplane in 2016 that the seats do go back.
Liz, don't you wish everybody was like us?
I do. I really, really do. You guys can be drinking for free.
What, Liz, what about all of the talk of being able to use cell phones? We've had this conversation before, too, where somebody, once they allow that, somebody's going to be talking too loud. Somebody's going to, can you hear me? Everybody else is going to be complaining. That's a disaster waiting to happen, right?
We have people FaceTiming.
You do?
And it's like, you can't do that. I'm sorry. You just, you know, unfortunately, it's not a cell call.
Oh, I see. So that's the problem with it. But you do have Wi-Fi in a lot of planes, so that makes it available.
And by the way, you know, Liz, as the flight attendant, you have to enforce so many rules that aren't your rules, but because you're the face of the airline and representing them, people think it's your fault somehow that you won't let them do something, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And it's when it's actually, FAA has our back, and that's the only way we're really protected. For a lot of times, the company will take the customers back I'm not saying my company
because they don't want bad publicity. I imagine
right,
exactly.
And they want customer service. But if you quote an FAA, you say about this regulation, you're completely off the hook. You're completely covered, and you say, I'm just the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. But this is really. You know, you keep doing this, or you do that, or, you know.
Wow. Well, yeah. you're awesome that you called, and it's obvious how much you care about your job, and it's a miracle that they can find anyone to do your job.
It's really not glamorous anymore. It's really kind of like working the, bus in the sky now.
Yeah,
exactly. We would all be fired in day one, though. So.
Oh, maybe.
Liz, thanks so much for your time. We really do appreciate it. Thanks for listening, too. 1-800-520-1067. If you have anything else to add, we're looking for flight attendants. We're trying to find out just how tough is it to do your job. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to take a long short quiz here. How many people are doing really well today? Can we have some thumbs up for all those that are doing well? Yay!
How about the flight attendants who are looking at it as an opportunity to try out a chunk of stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
How about those flight attendants?
It depends. Are they funny?
I like them. It's usually Southwest, and I find them highly enjoyable.
All right. Taking your calls right now from flight attendants at 1-800-520-1067. We saw about the Lamar Odom situation where he was removed off a flight a couple of days ago. We started thinking, man, that is not a fun job, I don't think. So we thought we'd hear it straight from you. You can be anonymous if you want by name or airline. But why don't we go to Wendy? Is she in New York right now streaming the show? Hi, Wendy. Welcome to Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Yes, I'm in New York at the moment, but I do live in L.A. And I just recently took that Delta flight that Lamar was on.
You were on that?
No, I wasn't on it, but I took the same flight last Friday.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. But, all right. So what do you have to add? We had a nice long conversation with Liz about all of the pitfalls of that job. She says it is not glamorous and it is not fun. Do you agree?
Well, it used to be glamorous and it used to be fun. And sometimes it probably still could be. I worked for Delta for over 20 years and then I just quit a couple years ago and I wrote a memoir about my flying years.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
And how much of that was about bad passengers?
there is a bit and about a few famous passengers that did get out of hand drinking a little bit too much, people that you wouldn't expect. But it's not exactly, a tell-all. But, when you get these kind of people on the plane, no matter who they are, you just want to get them off because your job is hard enough.
Right.
And so you really need to eliminate. I mean, he was so obvious. One of the things you look for on boarding is to see, if people are, anyone's been intoxicated really cannot fly.
Interesting.
He was obviously.
And the reason for that is in the case of an emergency or an evacuation, you need people to have their faculties about them enough that they can follow directions, they can get up, they can in an orderly way leave the plane and things like that, right?
Well, that's one of the reasons, of course. But as you know, there's a lot of people on the plane vying for your attention, which is one of the things that makes your job so difficult. But if you have a person that's drunk, they're so unpredictable. They're out of control. And in this case, he was sick. I mean, you just can't chance having someone that's going to,
Of course, yeah.
Hang on, let me make a note. Don't fly drunk.
How often do you have to, in your career, Wendy, is it uncommon to have to cut a passenger off from alcohol, or is that something you can expect to do during every shift?
Well, it didn't happen on every shift, but we have our little tricks, the bar's closed, or you just float a little bit of stuff on the top and things like that. And by the way,
did you say you float a little bit of stuff on the top? You just put like dirt or something in it?
No, like maybe a teeny weeny, like a capsule of alcohol, so it seems like they're getting a drink, but they're really not.
Or
you just say the bar's closed. But I was going to tell you, I go way back to Pan Am.
Okay.
So, in that time, we had a little, we still did have some issues with unruly passengers, but it was less often.
Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm glad you called. And again, the name of the book is what?
Life, Love, and a Hijacking. Ooh. And it's my Pan Am memoir.
All right.
I work for Pan Am.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Wendy. Appreciate the call so much. We love you out there in New York for listening. Jasmine is in Norwalk. She's up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Line 3, please.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hi. Good morning.
Flight attendant. What happened?
Well, our jobs are definitely not what they seem. We work, anywhere from 13 to 15-hour shifts. Only get paid for about 8 hours.
Jasmine, your job seems really bad to us, like really difficult.
It is.
I think we're on your side on that one.
Aside of being fatigued and doing, walking through airports all over the place, then we've got to deal with passengers. For example, gate life. When you're trying to get to your airplane, there's not even an aircraft there, and there's people lined up to get on. And, things like passengers not being able to open the lavatory door when it says push right in front of them.
Yeah.
They're standing there like it's rocket science, pulling the ashtray and things like that.
How many people get locked inside the bathroom and can't open the door to get out?
Oh, my gosh, at least two every flight.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. Yeah. Or they leave it open, and we've seen several butts, floating in the air when people open the door on them.
Jasmine, let me ask you this, because this has not come up with any of the flight attendants that we've spoken with so far. Is there a problem with you being hit on all the time as a flight attendant?
It can't. Well, you know what? Sometimes there can be. I particularly, wear a wedding ring just because I had that problem in the past. But there are some, frequent flyers, executive platinum people like that, that think that just because of their status, they can get whomever they want.
Was it B?
It wasn't me. No. I just know that the stereotype, especially whenever you see airline travel in the 60s and 70s, is the flight attendants are always, young, single, swinging ladies, and the passengers are always hooking up with them. And I wonder how much of that carries over to real life where people think that's what it's like.
Well, maybe not on our airline, but, there are some airlines where they're a little younger and, nicer looking. But ours, we have a lot of older flight attendants, so I don't think that happens too much on our airline.
All right. Well, you don't know what kind of ladies I like, so there you go. All right, Jasmine, appreciate you calling so much. Thanks very much. All right, I think we have to leave it there, but I think we've all agreed, a terrible job, right?
Correct, yes.
But thank you for doing it, you men and women that do. We appreciate it.
106.7, K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
You sounded surprised right after 106.7. 106.7?
A little bit.
Like
it was more of a question?
Like it was news to you that the frequency.
Could have been.
Impressed by that. Hey, her website calls her a celebrated actress. Okay, I'll buy it. And comedian Natasha Leggero will be joining us in studio just after 9 o'clock this morning on KROQ. First, though, in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Alex.
Did you guys see any of the 87th All-Star Game yesterday?
Was it baseball?
It still was baseball. Yes,
indeed. Yep.
Nope. Okay.
I enjoyed it. A lot of superstars.
Did you hear about some of the drama that happened before the game even started during the national anthem?
I didn't hear about it at the time because that part wasn't on the American broadcast. Mm-hmm. But, man, was there an online firestorm after it happened.
Yeah, I started seeing O Canada trending. And I was like, oh, it's a great national anthem. Let me click on it. Oh, no.
What happened?
Well, it wasn't on the American broadcast, but there is video of it as well. Basically, this group called the Tenors, they're a, I guess, a cappella group from British Columbia. They were there to sing their national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of singing "With Glowing Hearts, We See Thee Rise, the True North, Strong and Free."
They got the lyrics wrong?
No, no. One of the members decided to change the lyrics and sang, "We're all brothers and sisters, all lives matter to the great." And at the same time, he pulled out a sign that said, "All lives matter." So he turned a national anthem into a basically a political moment.
I feel like you can't change,
you cannot. And on the flip side of that, basically it's by saying all lives matter, a lot of people think that you are basically taking away from the Black Lives Matter movement. You're basically saying, nope. We're just going to reduce you and say all lives matter. Well, all lives do matter. We all agree with that. But by saying all lives matter, you're reducing the plight of African Americans and what they're trying to say is happening right now in the world.
And so you're doing that by changing the lyrics
to your national anthem. Here's some sound.
We're all brothers and sisters. All lives matter to the great.
Now, the way you described it unfolding, Allie, it sounded like this was a lone wolf situation, not something that the band maybe
had
rehearsed.
Was a wolf in the band?
That's the other part, Kevin. No, it was indeed a lone wolf situation because the band wound up tweeting, "The Tenors are deeply sorry for the disrespectful and misguided lack of judgment by one member of the group as a lone wolf today during the singing of the Canadian national anthem at the Major League Baseball
All-Star
Game."
So he didn't even tell the guys that were singing with him.
And I called BS on that. I was like, come on, you had rehearsals. You knew. Until I watched another video that I found, the guy next to him straight up just like stops, glances over, looks at him like, what the?
What are you doing?
A guy on the far end was, huh? And looks over at him. So, yeah, out of four of them, one apparently decided to take matters into his own hands. His name is Remigio Pereira.
I can't believe his name's not Kevin.
I know. Shocking.
How dare you?
Shocking.
Very Kevin-like behavior.
How dare you, sir?
But they ended and said the actions of one member of the group were extremely selfish, and he will not be performing with the Tenors until further notice.
So his life doesn't matter, then?
I think maybe he felt like his life mattered more than the other three guys for that moment. But, oh, my God. Twitter went off, and Canadians not pleased. Not pleased.
It takes a lot to get a Canadian upset,
That's what I'm saying. They are the nicest humans in the world, and they were ticked.
That's a very disrespectful thing.
It's extremely disrespectful. Really disappointing. Also disappointing, the fact that I can't get into how Chip is going to be arrested. But
what?
We'll talk about that next hour.
You're going to make us wait?
Yeah, well, Chip's going to be arrested. I'm surprised they haven't come yet.
Can she stay to the end of the show at least, or does she have to leave now?
No, she can stay.
Okay.
But Chip will be arrested.
Oh,
so
this is exciting.
Stick around. Stick around for that coming up. All of these stars born today on July the 13th. Actor Sir Patrick Stewart, 76. Harrison Ford, right. Harrison Ford is 74. Cheech Marin, 70. Director Cameron Crowe, 59. Actor Ken Jeong is 47. And I haven't mentioned it until somebody tweeted me. It is Colton Haynes' birthday from MTV's Teen Wolf and, of course, Arrow. He is 28 years old today. Happy birthday, Colton. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Always a lot of fun to have writer, actress, comedian Natasha Leggero back on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were just informed it was 1 year ago today she last appeared on the program. So happy anniversary, Natasha. Welcome back.
Is that one person clapping?
That's Bean.
Just me.
I'm the only one who's apparently excited
here,
to be here.
But I feel like Bean's more excited about the 1 year ago today part.
I mean, that's good timing.
I love the symmetry of that, though.
Right,
I
know.
I like things to be lined up and organized.
And that's why I left you on your own with the applauding. I'd like to applaud for Natasha, though.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
All right, we can all agree on that.
All right.
Natasha's looking very stylish today, too.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
Literally have rolled out of bed.
Really?
I do have some good looks, though, that don't require showering.
Oh, do tell.
Nice.
you know, hat.
The cool hat.
Sure. Little zip-up dress.
It's a very cool hat. It was like, I thought headphones. Sherlock was back on when you walked in. I was like, whoa.
It's, you know, it's my go-to. I like
it. Well, welcome back to the show, and congratulations on another fantastic season of Another Period. I know we just had Ricky in for the premiere, and you guys are, I mean, you can't believe this show is still on the air. It's so much fun to make is what it sounds like to me.
We can't believe it's on the air. yes,
because it's a dream. It's kind of a dream job for people with your skill set to be able to do all the fun things you get to do.
No, it's really fun, and we're so lucky to have this awesome cast and getting to write for people like, you know, Mike Lee and Black and Brett Gelman and Christina Hendricks. And we're going to start the writers' room for season 3 in a couple of weeks. And it's just, yeah, it's very fun, and it's definitely an ensemble. And things just start to write themselves when you think of the. You know, your funny friends, and
it is funny. It's also interesting that you don't that even though Michael Ian Black isn't in every scene, you don't throw him away, and he doesn't, and it doesn't feel that way. You're able to use each person on the cast, but you don't necessarily have to focus on them for the longest amount of time.
Right?
And he's so good at that.
I mean, we'd like to focus on everyone more. It's
nope,
20
just you
minutes,
guys. Just and, the two of you.
You know, and it's like, and when you watch Downton Abbey, because our show takes place in 1902, but it's a comedy. But you know, when you watch Downton Abbey, you don't get to see. You know, there's you kind of have to flip back and forth to different storylines.
And is it true that you got the call saying, "Okay, get ready for another season"? When you were in the middle of actually editing the season before?
Yes, season 2 we were editing, which hasn't all aired yet. I think we're on episode 3, so you can still tune in.
But that must be so encouraging for you guys. I mean, they haven't even seen season 2, and they're like, we're going to need another season.
Well, they had seen it, because the network sees it, but yes. But yes, no, it's an ideal situation, because then you can also, like, tell the actors and start preparing in advance. And
how many notes, then, if they do see it that soon, obviously, how many notes are they giving you? Or is it
not a lot?
Really?
Oh, I mean,
that's impressive.
We have to argue.
You guys are so over the top with some stuff. That's awesome.
Well, we just have to argue with them about certain things, you know?
Like,
it's not the network.
With lawyers?
It's like S&P people.
Right.
Yep. You know, they write emails every week and say all the things you can't say. And
yeah, we have the same people.
We'd like to say it. And then sometimes they'll say, okay.
Here's what
Wait,
you
hold
need.
On. Do you put worse stuff in? We do this sometimes. You put worse stuff in so that they feel like they're giving us their input.
I mean, that would never be smart, really... but no, we haven't thought
okay.
of that.
Should try that.
Natasha's character, Lillian Bellecourt, on the program Another Period, maybe it was last week's episode I saw, you had a scene where there was a woman whose job it was to fan your vagina to keep it cool. That's the kind of show we're talking about here.
Well, because we're very rich. We're like
very rich.
We're the upper 1% of the 1% in 1902, and like we've done our research, and this is before capitalism was even invented. People were just trying to like figure, they thought America was going to be like English royalty, and no one was paying income tax, so people were living like rats.
A vagina fanner is what we actually have to say it on the radio, but
less funny.
Less funny. That was what was great about the moment on your show is I was like, I can't believe they got away with that.
Honestly, I don't know why that did not get flagged.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Allie, if you were that rich, you would have somebody who would just do that as a full-time job,
not
right?
only would I do it, I would deserve it. Like, absolutely.
You deserve it now.
Thank you, Natasha.
Thank you.
So, Natasha, are there people on your show who try to get the details right of 1902 America?
Yes, well, those people
Or do you
are
take
us.
A lot of liberties with that?
I mean, it's a comedy, and, you know, there hasn't been a comedy that I can remember that takes place in 1902. So, you know, it's like you can take some of the dramatic things that you've seen in other Gilded Age dramas and turn them into comedy. So, you know, that's because sometimes it's just so easy. You know, they take everything so seriously. Like, you know, there's someone will freak out because they don't have their bedtime biscuits, and you know.
But you guys went to Rhode Island.
But we went to Newport, Rhode Island.
Check things out.
We've been there like 3 times to like study the time and the families that lived there. Because
you don't have a 1902 expert. That's
we
on
do
the
have.
Oh, you do.
Well, we do have someone. This guy Seth, who was amazing, who worked on Drunk History.
You know, I'm old timey Seth.
He helped us. You know, he was kind of a. I don't know what they call dramaturg, historian, something.
Okay. Do you rip stories from the actual headlines?
Oh, totally. Yes. I mean, that's kind of where things come from. You know, we have an episode last season about a beauty pageant, and it comes from the first beauty pageant was against a bird and a baby and a cabbage. Like,
that's right.
They didn't think that humans, they thought it was like, you know, rude to tell a human they were being judged for their beauty. So they then put a human beauty contest up against the babies and the lettuce. But like, yeah, we just kind of did that.
and some of the real-life celebrities from the turn of the last century, people like Mark Twain, for instance, I mean, they're fair game for you. Yeah, Harry Tubman, you can have all them on the show if you want.
Yeah, and we try to keep them at the same age. And like this year, I think the episode tonight is all the Roosevelts. So, you know, we kind of took some liberties with that. Like, everyone's the same age, you know, the Roosevelts, like Teddy and FDR and Eleanor. But
Bean just got a boner. I know.
I'm very excited about this episode. Tell me more.
Well, it's so funny. But this is a great episode tonight. But the thing
plays Eleanor? Somebody
June Diane Raphael. Yes. She's so funny, and she might have a lesbian tryst with someone in the cast.
Well, might
she's Eleanor.
Okay. Sounds about right.
But then I don't know if you guys if Bean, are you're like you're into the Roosevelts?
He loves presidential anything.
I do love the history.
Did you see the Roosevelt document? It was like a
the Ken Burns documentary. Yeah,
right. In the Ken Burns documentary, they kind of paint FDR to be kind of a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember they tell that story, like he would just sit around with his rich friends and throw martini glasses against the wall?
That's very true.
So we sort of took that as our inspiration point, not, you know, pre-crippled. And
which is when it's funnier.
And we have him making fun of the crippled people in the house. Like, we just kind of took our idea of, like, because he's a young FDR. So we tried to reimagine that character that Ken Burns sort of describes. Obviously much different than the, you know, FDR from history.
Lillian and Beatrice, they hate the handicapped, is what I mean. There's a character on the show called Chair, let's face it. I mean, that's all you need to know, right? the show is so funny, you guys. It airs Wednesday nights at 10 on Comedy Central. It's called Another Period, a new episode tonight. And we have more with our guest, Natasha Leggero, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I feel like if that song were longer, some of us would have gotten into a fight in the studio.
That was happening. That was happening. And by the way, it was everybody fighting with Bean.
Weird.
We were all getting along pretty well until Natasha Leggero showed up, I just like to point out. Maybe she's the instigator here.
I'm facilitating you guys getting along.
You really are.
You're like, did you do a timeout during that song?
You did. She did send us to our corners at one point. the show is Another Period. It airs Wednesday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 10 o'clock on Comedy
Central.
And
it's not about a period.
It's not at all.
Right. That's an important distinction.
Here is a clip that I pulled of last week's episode. This is your character, Lillian, who is, she'll explain. There's a murder trial going on in town that she's very excited about.
Technically, Hamish is the one being tried, but I've been called to testify due to the fact that I'm his former lover. And also, I'm beautiful, charismatic, sexually intoxicating.
I just want to see someone die from hanging or firing squad or dynamite or even old age.
Yes, well, who doesn't? Let's not try to shift focus off of the person who matters here. Me.
Right, me, she says. Me. I love that accent that you do to talk.
That's how I talk.
I was going to say, have you seen her stand-up?
But I'm also from Rockford, Illinois, so I don't know where that bloomed.
Speaking of stand-up, we have been seeing your name come up a lot lately about the honeymoon tour that you and your new husband have been out on.
Oh, yes. We went to all across the western, I guess, coast of America, like all the places that we wanted to go, and we spent all the money we made on expensive hotels, and it was really fun. People came, we sold out all the shows, and we gave people love advice, and I think we're planning a Midwest and an East Coast one.
You give love advice a lot, don't you?
Huh?
You give love advice a lot.
Do I?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have been married for almost 7 months, so I feel like I'm qualified.
Right? So you know.
Do I give love advice?
You do dating, right? I'm trying to think.
Oh, I've done some matchmaking.
Yes. Yes. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
And I come from three generations of matchmakers.
What?
Not really. But I did convert to Judaism, so I feel like I'm more.
That's a strange boast to make up. Right. From three generations of matchmakers.
I mean, I say it to people to try to get them, you know, to confuse me.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Help me understand this, Natasha. When you say you converted to Judaism, is that because you had to be Jewish to get married the way you wanted to, or because your husband wouldn't marry you unless you were Jewish, or his family wouldn't accept you?
None
of those things.
Well, my husband is Jewish, mm-hmm. and
really, because from his name, I wasn't sure. I couldn't
Moshe Kasher.
I couldn't tell.
And you know, I was baptized Catholic, which, I mean, was kind of embarrassing, you know, once you get into your 30s. Like, I don't want to really be Catholic anymore.
Right.
And so...
Because you loved birth control.
I love abortions, yes. And I, you know, I started learning about Judaism, and, you know, I knew it would make him happy if you know, we have children and they're Jewish, and so
okay.
why not? It wasn't a test.
Is there a test?
It was like a driving test. No, it was 19 4-hour classes, which he attended with me. And
that seems like a lot.
It really was.
Wow.
And I did them all in like 3 weeks.
No, you did them online.
I didn't do them online. I had to go there and sit in a room.
And there's no quiz or test or anything?
Oh,
so you
yeah,
can literally not pay attention?
No, I had to meet with 3 elder rabbis.
Wow.
And they had to.
Like on Sex and the City, when Charlotte does that,
yeah.
you had to do that.
I had to do that, and then I had to go into the mikveh, which is like kind of a hot tub.
Yeah.
And then they sing their prayers to you. And
this
then
is
you,
way is more complicated like than I thought it would be.
And then phonetically, really I have to say some prayers.
I don't feel like it's a hot tub.
But I didn't really know what I was. It was kind of like, I felt like a seal at SeaWorld. I was just kind of like saying the prayers.
Did you at some point just think, what's happening right now?
No, I was into
you're
it.
Okay.
Judaism's awesome. You know, it's you're part of this beautiful tradition.
Okay.
Yes.
But
hello.
Here's what I don't understand. And this,
I'm
not playing this an actual serious question. Can't anyone decide they believe the tenets of the Jewish faith and just say, all right, I'm going to be Jewish because that's what I believe. I don't understand why you have to go through all of this ceremony to be Jewish.
I mean, I suppose you don't have to, but Catholicism is like a very easy conversion. They're Christians are so desperate. They're like, high five. Yeah, they'll just kind of let you. I mean, Judaism does. Yeah, that's what's kind of cool. Like, they're not desperate for you to become Jewish. You know, they want to make it a little challenging for you.
Okay, I gotcha.
And now, you want to learn about their traditions, and like Judaism is full of holidays, and you know you have a Shabbat every week where you turn off your phones from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, and you know it's a weekly party.
And are you that observant that you're doing that?
No, but I have done it.
No, but you're aware that it happens.
Well, yeah. It's something that I strive towards mm-hmm. because it, you know, who doesn't want to unplug for 24 hours? This when you love to not have to answer emails from Friday
nice.
Night to
Absolutely.
Saturday night, who doesn't want to do that? So why not say
you
it's part
excuse.
Of your religion?
Right. There you go.
But I've been so busy editing our show that I haven't been able to do that. But I definitely have been trying. I've been scheduling them at least once a month. And then we have a dinner party, and I tell people I'll be hanging out in my yard on Saturday. And if they want to come by. And, you know,
make it sound fun.
A luncheon on Saturday. People come over. You break bread. You drink wine. You read. You commune with nature. You go on a walk. It's nice.
Will you give up
Jewish?
Will you give up Christmas?
Oh, I mean, Christmas is kind of hacky. I'm kind of over
what?
It.
Oh, no.
Oh, this just
I mean,
got
those
ugly.
Songs.
How dare you?
Christmas is what you live for, Allie?
No, Bean.
I love Christmas.
Oh. He comes in and he says, today is 7/12 Christmas. It's that guy.
Well, that's
Santa
actually the 25th.
Baby.
Yes.
I can't take it.
I am turgid right now.
He's so angry.
So you're over Christmas anyway, so it's not a big give. For
no.
you to not,
okay, and then you I have like Hanukkah and you make latkes and have your friends over and light the Judaism's all about like lighting candles and mm-hmm. drinking wine, and it's very family oriented. It's very the traditions are, you know, a lot of it takes place in the home. And
I am feeling sincerity from you on this topic
because she's being sincere.
No, I mean, I feel like this isn't just a thing you went through because you had to. This is a thing that you really are into now.
If you're going to pick a religion, mm-hmm. I'd say Judaism's high
pick
up
the one
there.
That gets the most hate? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying in terms of the lifestyle I want.
All right.
I think that it's, you know, it's very intellectual. You get to debate topics. Like when I was young in Catholic school, I would ask a question. I'd be like, were Adam and Eve really real? And they'd be like, go out in the hall. I mean, I had nuns slap me across the face. I mean, it's not a very open religion. as opposed to Judaism, the whole, I mean, when you look at the Talmud, I mean, it's just about debating. There's a whole portion in the middle of their Bible that's just rabbis arguing about what it all means. So
okay. I'm
it's
good
open.
At the atoning. Okay. I think I'd nail that. What's
really?
The Day of Atonement?
I don't know.
Yom Kippur, is it Yom Kippur?
Oh, yes,
I think
yes.
So. I'd
nail that because I'm
You
good.
Took 19 4-hour classes. You should know the answer to that.
Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Or Yom Kippur.
All right. We're almost out of time, believe it or not, already.
You don't want to keep talking about
No, I am fascinated with this. This is one of the most, for me, most entertaining conversations we've had on the show in a long time. I am really impressed. I'm really impressed by the things
Bean,
that you're
you
saying.
Should have friends. I have Jewish
you
friends.
Need to hang
and
out
we
with
actually
Jews.
Have these
I have Jewish friends, yeah. And they come over to the house. They help us decorate our Christmas tree, and then we go over to their house and celebrate Jewish traditions. And that's
that
what happens when you
fun.
Have, say, friends.
Bean, but I'm not going to lie.
Seder suck, right? Who's with me?
Yeah, I'm not down with that.
Yeah, those are long.
Fun because you're so hungry and you're like we'd get it you know who's with
me? But Bean I get you the tree is nice that evergreen smell is
see,
sure
nothing wrong with that.
Get a candle
I feel a little romance
what kind of
that.
Advice did you get from and this is a serious question from your friends and family about marrying someone else in show business is that a good idea having two people in this line of work trying to stay married
let alone show business two comics
mm-hmm. I mean it totally oh depends on who the people are
true
you know it's like it's everyone's, you know, our personalities just match and he doesn't have, you know, he happens to not be competitive and I'm not competitive with him. And so it all works. But, you know, I could imagine it could be a nightmare, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who say one show business person per marriage is enough. You know what I mean? The other guy needs to be in finance or something.
Right. A lot of people, you know, there's certain types of people, they just want a plus one and that's what they want out of life. They want someone who just comes along to all their things. And then there's people like my husband, I think would be bored by that. He wants someone who has their own things going on. But if you're the kind of person who doesn't like that, then it would be a bad match. So it just depends on, you know. How strong you are in your personality.
It's awesome that you found each other, though, and you sound very happy. So,
well,
congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm glad for you kids.
Thank you. If anyone wants to go to synagogue with me tomorrow night.
Tomorrow? Oh, no, I got that.
Oh, yeah. No, Friday. I thought it was Thursday.
Oh, Friday, I've got a thing.
All right, last plug for another period tonight with a new episode of 10 on Comedy Central. What's happening on tonight's show, Natasha?
Tonight's show, this is my favorite episode, actually. Great time to tune in. It is the Roosevelts come. And I have a little tryst with FDR. Eleanor may be 69ing with someone in the home.
All right.
And Christina Hendricks.
You had me at 69ing.
Yeah. It's a great show. You guys are doing wonderful work over there. Comedy Central Wednesday nights at 10. We'll see you exactly 1 year from today, Natasha.
For season
Make
3.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thanks for coming in. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43.
Ralph is out today. Allie is in with the showbiz beat here on a... Hey, do we have to do a thing with the thing? Or no?
Nobody knows what you're saying.
I don't think we have to do a thing with the thing.
Except for Kevin.
I think we're good.
All right.
I speak
Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin does speak beat. All right. Allie's here in for Ralph with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
All right. Kevin loves Mr. Robot.
I do.
Loves it.
So
and
good.
If you're a fan of USA Network's Mr. Robot show, you'll be glad to know that tonight... There's an after show called Hacking Robot. It's going to air after the 2-hour season 2 premiere tonight. And the host is Andy Greenwald. You might know him if you watch the Game of Thrones after show, After the Thrones. So he's also going to be hosting Hacking Robot.
Very exciting.
So you can have 3 hours of Mr. Robot tonight.
That's a good show, really.
If you haven't heard of it, you need to watch it.
Yeah.
People are obsessed with it.
I think the first season is only like 10 episodes, too, so it's not that hard to catch up.
Oh,
is it
today?
The kind of show, Kevin, that needs an after show?
No, but I'm happy they have it.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. I'm happy they have it.
Dave says yes.
It is confusing.
It's not that confusing, but I'm happy to have it.
Okay,
it'll be
Kevin's
fun to watch.
Kevin's saying it's not that confusing.
Right?
I feel like it's not confusing at all.
All right.
Okay.
That's
rude, but continue.
I'm just saying.
Whatever.
All right, moving along. We talked about this earlier. Taylor Swift
is the worst.
Basically, a rumor and sources connected to Taylor have said that she is the creative brains behind Calvin Harris's monster hit, This Is What You Came For. And essentially, the whole story was during their relationship, Taylor wrote the song. She sat down at the piano, did a demo, sent it to Calvin. He loved it, went into the studio, did a full demo, Taylor on vocals, Calvin doing the beat. And then they decided mutually that instead of collaborating as a couple, because it would overshadow the song, Rihanna would be the one to sing the tracks.
Right.
So he released the song, became an instant hit. Number one, number two on the dance electronic charts for 9 weeks, number five on Billboard 100. And she wrote it under a pseudonym, Nils Sjoberg. I could be pronouncing that incorrectly.
No, I think that's right.
Yeah, possibly. Mm-hmm.
By the way, there is a, as an aside, there is a Swedish blogger who has that exact name.
Oh, weird.
It's been very confusing for him all of a sudden to be in the news.
Poor guy. Well, the problem that arose, apparently, Calvin appeared on Ryan Seacrest's radio show, and Ryan asked, will you do a collaboration with your girlfriend? And Calvin responded, you know, we haven't spoke about it. I can't see it happening, though. And Taylor was super hurt, thought he went too far, and now that's what's being reported as what ended their relationship. Because timeline-wise, 2 days later, she went to the Met Gala, danced with Tom Hiddleston, and the rest is history. Well, breaking news,
okay,
you guys. This is pretty big. Apparently, People Magazine has confirmed that, yes, she did write the lyrics, blah, blah, blah. Calvin Harris tweeted that link and then wrote, and she sings on a little bit of it, too. Amazing lyric writer, and she smashed it as usual. Hi, great guy, right?
Huh.
Stand-up dude. Wait for it. I wrote the music, produced the song, arranged it, and cut the vocals, though, and initially she wanted it kept a secret, hence the pseudonym. Next tweet. Hurtful to me at this point that her and her team would go so far out of their way to try and make me look bad at this stage. Next tweet. I figure if you're happy in your new relationship, you should focus on that instead of trying to tear your ex-boyfriend down for something to do.
Does he know who he was?
No.
Does he know who he was dating?
Please hold.
Because this is not un-Taylor-like.
This is where it gets real good.
Okay, good.
I know you're off on tour and you need someone new to try and bury, like Katie, meaning Katy Perry. But I'm not that guy. Sorry, I won't allow it. Next tweet. Please focus on the positive aspects of your life because you've earned a great one. God bless everyone. Have a beautiful day. Calvin Harris.
Wow, that's well done. That is
all
well
right.
done.
But I have to ask.
Oh, stop it, you Taylor apologist.
I have now turned the whole tide. She's awful.
First of all, she's awesome. And second of all, let me ask you, Kevin, since you already, before you heard any of this story, had your mind made up that Taylor was at fault. What did Taylor do in this story as it has been laid out for us today that is in any way objectionable? Have we even heard a word from her or her camp?
Her reps have confirmed to People that she's the one that tried
it. They made this big deal.
They
made
right?
a big deal out of her writing this song.
Who made a big deal out of her writing this
song?
Oh,
I'm sure it wasn't her, Bean. I'm sure
nobody associated with her. Who have you heard in this conversation, quote,
in
made a big deal?
In this conversation, I didn't hear anything
sources
because it happened
before.
Sources
connected to Taylor are the ones that leaked this whole thing to TMZ. Sources connected to Taylor is basically speak for Taylor and her team. Is what he's saying. Why would your team go out of their way now to be like, oh, he went against her and he hurt her and this and that?
And by the way, that is exactly what we know about her from the past relationships that she's had. How can you question that, Bean?
Come on, Bean.
That's all she does is complain about exes.
That's a stereotype or a generalization that somehow you've got in your mind.
She doesn't do that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an example where she's done that. Yes, she did throw shade at Katy Perry, a former friend. That did happen. But when has she ever come out publicly and said something awful about anybody? Ever. Even once.
Didn't she write songs?
Yeah, she writes songs, as all artists do, write songs about their lives. Absolutely,
and
yes.
That involved exes very
when
clearly.
When has she ever come out and said a bad thing about
anybody?
See,
you're saying sad. You're just playing word games.
No,
I'm not interested.
I'm not at all.
She writes songs about exes, does she not?
All artists write songs about their
right,
lives.
Right, but she's
and the
known
that they
for being
through.
Particularly childish in the songs that she writes about the exes.
That has not been my experience or understanding.
Of course it hasn't, because you love her. She's Taylor Swift. She's the worst.
Basically Taylor, or basically Calvin right now. I'm not that guy. Sorry, I won't allow it. Basically, Kevin could tweet that about you now, Bean.
Look, here's what it's like being a Taylor Swift fan in this room, especially with this group here. They always try to assume the worst possible thing about Taylor.
Oh, like haters are going to hate. Would you like say?
Shake it off, Bean.
Like I say to Allie yesterday, look at all these pictures of Taylor visiting sick kids on her vacation in Australia. And Allie's like, oh, it's nice that she's putting it out there so she gets credit for it. She had nothing to do with it getting out
there.
It's
deal.
Cool
here's
that
the deal.
Knows all the truth.
No.
The deal. They do not allow you to take pictures in a hospital with sick children unless it is okayed by the artist, the parents of the child, and the hospital.
I'm not
don't
saying it was,
act
was it okay?
Like she was not in on it, Bean.
I'm saying it's not like she's putting out a press release, hey, I went to this hospital. This is the hospital.
Yes,
she's doing.
Essentially,
not
she
at
is
all.
When she okays those pictures to be released.
You're very unfair to her. For whatever reason, you guys have decided.
Oh, you're crazy apologist for her.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe anything negative about her.
Oh, that's not true.
Because you love her.
I have said lots of critical things about Taylor Swift in the past. I just haven't seen the connection in the news that's come out today on this Calvin Harris story that she's done anything wrong. Yeah, did somebody say to TMZ, Taylor wrote that song and she was mad about it? Of course. People say things all the time.
Right, but that had nothing to do with her.
We don't know. That's my point.
And we do know. Because we know how celebrity works. We do. We know how celebrity. Yes, I am, and I'm guessing right. That's the thing.
Oh, you can tell you're guessing right. I'm automatically guessing wrong.
About 90% of the time, if sources close to the celebrity say something,
it's the celebrity putting it out.
It's the celebrity saying something. That's not...
If people are caught by paparazzi coming out of a restaurant no one cares about, they call that paparazzi Bean. That's what world we live in today. That's how they do it.
I'm sorry, you lost me on that last paparazzi, but I don't even know what you're talking about. But anyway, we're almost out of time here.
People put a word out there by saying the people close to them have blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't mean they're not behind it.
And a half, Allie.
Oh, we're out of time.
Ooh, it's grouchy
beans.
No, it's not.
Okay.
We've got an
all
out
these
time.
People That's are happy because they were born today. Patrick Stewart, 76. Harrison Ford, 74. Cheech Marin is 70. Cameron Crowe is 59. Tom Kenny is 54. Colton Haynes
is 9:52 and 46 seconds, Allie.
Old today. Funny, he never comes to any of our behalf when something is happening that we're sticking up for. I'll remember this one, Bean. I'll remember it next time it's thanks for that tweet and I laugh at it. I won't laugh, even if
will.
I think it's
you
funny.
Will. You'll
I totally
you
will
can't
laugh.
Help yourself.
F you, Bean.
All right. You want to wrap it up or?
I only came for alcohol. I wish I was
being... Okay. Hey, on your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Jim Rome talking sports. We have Adam Carolla on the show. We have Marlon Wayans. We have a brand-new Internet Roundup. And we have John Leguizamo tomorrow talking about The Infiltrator. And that is tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.